Shall I get us started?
Of course, I have not been paying attention, so you just have to tell me what to do.
Now it's time for No BS Podcast episode 162, the almost all rant edition. See what I did there?
I do. I like it.
For the week of Friday, December 24th, 2010. I'm Senior Associate Editor Nathan Edwards. With me today are Intrepid Podcast Producer Andy Bauman.
Hello.
The Real Live Senior Editor Gordon Ma-Ung.
Hello.
And about an hour of pre-recorded Senior Editor Gordon Ma-Ung.
Hello.
Is there actually enough to make an hour's worth?
Oh my gosh.
Probably 2 hours.
Yeah, I remember the first time I did the all-rent stuff, I was just going along, not paying attention, putting together every single rant. I wasn't like being selective, and it ended up being almost 3.5 hours or something ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah. I think people don't mind that, though.
No, I think it's kind of a nice thing to have.
They just tune the world out, then. They just sort of...
Just washed away in the rant.
It's an interesting, like, what do you call it? A retrospective on the year, though, because it starts out, and there's things that are timely, and you kind of remember portions of the year through the rant. It's actually really transcendent.
Exactly.
That's interesting. It's a historical perspective through being pissed off at stuff.
It is. Yeah. The year in rants.
Yeah.
2010. The year in rants. Ooh, I like that. So before we segue into Gordon's year of rants, we are recording this at about 2:45 p.m., so right before we leave on Thursday, the 23rd of December.
And you guys are out for an entire week after this week, right? So you must have You must have senioritis right now.
Yeah, basically.
No, because when you're a senior, you get the whole summer off. You have, and of course, you're 18 or 17, and you think there's no way. Are we swearing or are we not swearing in this one?
Oh, we're back to swearing.
Are we?
Oh, I don't know.
We got feedback from a guy being like, finally, I can share your podcast with my 10-year-old child. Considering this is an all-rant edition, though, there's going to be swearing all through it, so we might as well.
Right. So, okay, so you're a senior. What do you care if you fuck up? Right?
Yeah.
You've already pretty much graduated.
Transcripts
already. How could you screw up? Yeah. The senioritis is like you're... Because, you know, we all know when you leave high school, it's about 5 years of fucking up before you realize, oh, man, I really fucked up. Right. Except for the smart kids who didn't fuck up. But so we, of course, can't do that because it would be awesome if this senioritis, Andy, would be, we're never fucking coming back to this place. Right?
Burn this mother down.
So you just really,
throw monitors out the window. But no, we have to come back and also still put a magazine together in like 1 week.
Yeah. Like no, 2 days. Because we come back on the 3rd and on the 5th we leave for CES.
So, unfortunately, it's not like senioritis. I wish it was.
It's more like finals week in college, basically.
Closer to that, maybe.
Closer, yeah. You know, I don't know how your college did it, but at Northwestern, we had the quarter system. So, you'd go home for like 3 or 4 days for Thanksgiving, and then you had basically a week and a half of finals and then Christmas. So, you're like mini vacation to get your hopes up, and then you come back and you're like, oh, God. I have so much work to do. I have like 20-page papers and, you know, finals to do and basically up for a week straight mainlining Red Bull. And then you do your finals and you go home and your mom wonders why you're sleeping for 3 days straight.
How much of that is programming cheats into your calculator?
I didn't take math in college, so I didn't have to program anything into my calculator.
Thank so you programmed the cheats into your phone?
Is that- I didn't cheat. I am the very model of a modern, honor-based student.
It's okay to cheat, remember? Jim Kirk cheated. So if Jim Kirk is a cheater and he's a paragon of all people,
those tests were the Kobayashi Maru was impossible to win. You know, a creative writing final is not impossible to win.
No, it is for me.
All you got to do is take a Star Trek episode and change the names of everybody.
Or a Buffy episode.
No, I did not actually do that.
Everybody will think you're a genius.
That's true. You really can write dialogue, and your women are so feisty, Andy Bauman. with your Duffy the Zombie Slayer.
Oh, I thank you.
Your Miles.
Why didn't I take creative writing?
So witty. What a gentleman. No, creative writing is actually really hard because it turns out when you have to, you have like no structure. It's really hard to come up with something. Structure is much. It's easier to write a sonnet than it is to write free verse, I think, because you know the structure gives it a little bit of form and a little bit of boundaries. It's like why, well, any sort of restriction you have is sort of a challenge to rise up to, right?
Yeah, people say that, but I don't know if I believe it, because I was always, they always put in. So I was in a different line of majoring where instead of using words, I used video and stuff. So
right,
They give you, so like, restrictions. You, no, you can't cheat, because you have to go shoot and edit and stuff. But they give you restrictions,
you just, like,
and I'm like...
insert Godfather 2 in that?
No. And just composite your people you know into...
Right.
Yeah, I guess. But then you probably get a really good grade for compositing realistic stuff, so that's a whole other story. But, yeah, there's no... I hated the restrictions. I wanted to be crazy and do weird shit, and they wouldn't let me. I wanted to be avant-garde.
But every college kid wants to be avant-garde. They're like, anyone... They were probably thinking, anyone can do that. Not anyone knows how to tell a compelling story in a minute and a half.
I know, but you know, I wanted to do...
With two cameras and two angles.
Yeah, but I wanted blood squirting everywhere and all that kind of stuff. Typical college kid.
So you couldn't steal lines, though? Like, you broke my heart,
Frodo? You could. Why not?
Fredo?
Yeah.
Frodo.
Frodo.
You're breaking my heart, Mr. Frodo. I can't carry it, but I can't carry you.
It was you, Frodo. I know
it was always you.
Holy smokes, it is kind of similar in some ways. I never realized that.
Frodo, you know. Anyway.
Where were we? Christmas? What are you getting for Christmas, tech-wise? Anything fun?
I'm not getting anything fun that I know of. I did ask for a pair of those Astro in-ear headphones, like the gaming headset, but not the huge cans, the in-ear ones.
Oh, I didn't know they made
it. Like Quatch from PC Gamer just walked by.
Did they make a wireless version with the mix amp and stuff for those, or is it just the headphone part?
It'll plug into the mix amp. Yeah, no, it's just it's sort of like a in ears. So like you can use them with your phone and whatever, and then they add in a PC splitter, and then you can use the mix amp too. They look really cool. I haven't tried them out. I think Alex has, but I asked for those. But one thing I had to track down was a, and I can say this because my fiance doesn't listen to the podcast, is a 1.8-inch SATA drive for her PC, her laptop. Those things are hard to find.
Hmm. Well, how do you know she doesn't listen to the podcast?
I think I would have heard about it by now.
Okay, let's test. I'm just going to test this. Hey, Nathan, what was that girl you weirded lunch with at the today?
I don't eat lunch with anybody. I sit at my desk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, come on. Who was her? I think you're getting married, man. As a married man, I'm advising you. No wandering eye, even though you're not married.
This is terrible, Gordon.
Okay, I'm just saying that. So we just did that, right?
But now the passive doubt has
been...
If
she's really pissed off, then you will know she listens to the podcast.
That was wonderful. Thank you for that.
Well, you're the one who says she doesn't listen.
That was so that I could tell you what I got her for Christmas because it was tech related.
Dude, don't. Okay.
Well, my point was that 1.8-inch SATA drives are more expensive than their 2.5 or 3.5-inch peers.
They do suck.
It's like $150 for a 320 gig one.
Huh.
Yeah, I think 1.8 suck.
Yeah, but I mean, it's what
goes in. Is that the only way?
Yeah, it's the only way. That's all that fits in her HP EliteBook tablet.
But they're slow, they're expensive. I mean, unless you can afford an SSD, it's a total rip.
Yeah, but a 240 gig, like, Vertex 2, that's 1.8 inches, it's like $800.
Right. It's a total ripoff.
It is a total ripoff.
I really wish they would stick to 2.5s and even the thin and lights.
Yeah. Something to be said for accepted standards.
What are you getting for Christmas, Andy? Oh, wait. Holiday or Christmas?
Christmas is fine.
The holiday.
I just got a gift card to Amazon, and I don't know what to spend it on. Yeah.
That's the gift that keeps on giving.
I know. There's so many options, though. Well, I've got a shopping list so far. Going to buy... This is weird. I'm going to buy Microsoft points on Amazon with an Amazon gift card. So it's like trading a card for a card of different points.
Or real money for fake money.
Yeah, but both have to be used in a certain place. It's weird.
Yeah, but Amazon is basically, it's almost as good as real money because you can get anything on Amazon.com.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
It's like ZomboCom. You can do anything.
I'm going to get Assassin's Creed 2 for Xbox. And what else is on here? Oh, it looks like I'm going to buy some shoes for my fiance.
Ah, fiance.
I've got nothing like tech related, though, really, which is lame because I feel like I should have more. I want to get a macro lens for my camera, but those are too expensive for me right now.
Just hold the camera really close to the thing.
No, but it doesn't work because you can't get the focus close enough, dude.
Speaking of cameras, I tried taking a picture of the eclipse yesterday.
Yeah.
My camera couldn't find it. Hey, I had a D40X, but I don't have a really big zoom lens, of course. I just have whatever lens my sister gave me when she gave me the camera. But yeah, it didn't really work out. The camera wanted to take a flash, and I'm not really familiar with DSLR functions. I used like a D100 back in college, and I learned it, but then I immediately forgot it. So I was like, I'll put it on automatic mode, and then nighttime mode, and you know, I kept it. No flash, you're popping up. Why are you popping up? And I don't have a tripod, so I was like trying to hold the camera really still to take a picture of this tiny sliver of a moon up in the sky, and it just didn't turn out well, man.
Yeah. And you shoot Canon?
Yeah.
So you're looking at either the 100 or this. They have a 60 macro that's, I think, fairly cheap, though, don't they?
It's not too bad, right?
The other option, I mean, it's not going to give you the best image quality, is to look at, you can buy these filters that are sort of give you a, you know, macro-like effect.
So, really?
They're just screw-mount filters. You put them on the front of the lens. They get you fairly close, and it's probably okay. Not as good as a macro, of course, but.
So the lunar eclipse was awesome.
What are you going to, what's on your list, Gordon?
Well, I have kids, so I'm not going to get anything, but I am hoping to get the Wrath of Khan phaser.
Nice.
Yeah.
Khan. I recently rewatched that for the first time in about 15 years. It holds up.
Oh, it's good. It's on Netflix and it's in watch now.
That's why I watched it.
But yeah, it's really good, actually.
Should we talk about new stuff?
We could, or we could just say we're about 15 minutes from leaving the building for a week, and we could just segue right into the rant.
Well, I think this big news is Windows 8 on ARM.
Oh, yeah. How crazy is that?
What is that? I'm not sure I understand what that is.
I don't think anybody knows what it is. There's just all these rumors swirling that Microsoft at CES, and the reason I bring this up is because this is before CES, so we'll see how wrong we are. And I say how wrong we are because with the media is wrong 95% of the time. So
that's not true.
Okay, 97% of the time the media is wrong.
That's
so
not true. That's even worse.
Are you holding yourself to that standard? Yeah.
Anytime anybody tries to predict the future, they're almost always wrong.
But sometimes when they're right, they can be like, aha, I was right. And you're like, you were just guessing.
Right.
Like John Dvorak.
I was right on the iPad, though. But
that's true. It was an Apple tablet Apple with a CPU.
With the logo on it, too.
The logo running an Apple OS.
Exactly.
I was totally right. So wait. So Windows 8 on ARM, there's just all these rumors swirling that CES, that Ballmer at his keynote is going to show off Windows 8 on ARM, or at least announce it, which right now, for people who don't know, Windows is pretty much exclusive to x86, so AMD, Intel, VIA.
Yeah.
And the idea to move to ARM, I think a lot of people think, is because everybody is, of course, shit scared that in 5 years, no one will know what a desktop computer is, and we will all be using tablet computers to do all of our computing.
God, I hope not.
And the tablets and the future, the bright, shining cloud future, is about ARM, not about x86. That's what everybody's afraid of. So if Microsoft can port Windows over onto ARM, then everybody, you know, then Microsoft will be okay. At least that's, you know, what everybody thinks.
It's interesting. I just had a crazy vision of the future.
What was that?
What if in a few years we're using sort of a variant of the OnLive thing, only with our own desktops and tablets? Now, stay with me here because this is going to sound crazy. We all have a tablet, right? But it is basically VNC'd into our desktop computers. So the processing is all, or almost all, taking place what would be server side, but it's like our desktop side, and then it's pushed through to the tablet.
Wow, that's awesome.
I'm serious. No.
That's awesome, except that already exists.
Well, right, you could just VNC in from wherever.
No, I mean, thin client computing has been around forever, right? That's where it started, in fact.
But consumer thin client, I'm talking. Like dudes like you and me playing Crysis on these little pads or whatever. Well, the desktop computers that, face it, my desktop computer is pretty powerful, and I don't use it 80% of the day because I'm not at home. If I was at home and I could just use it basically as the server or the mainframe to my thin client tablet, that would be awesome.
So
Yeah, Microsoft tried that about 8 years ago.
You're wanting Citrix Go To My PC. I believe they sponsored the podcast a while back.
Possibly. Go To My PC. Please sponsor us again. No, I
can't, but that just looks bad because the artifacting, my computer resolution at home is much better than the one I have at work.
So it must have been 10 years ago. Microsoft tried this thing. It was called the Air Panel. And this is back in the Windows 98 days.
Mm-hmm.
You installed, you know, the software. You put this dongle. It was basically a hardwired, you know, radio. Put that in a USB port on your computer, and then this tablet-like device, about an 8-inch screen, 7-inch screen, you could access everything on your computer by using this little tablet.
Right, but you know the reason that didn't work is because 10 years ago we didn't have such robust 3G Wi-Fi connectivity. We didn't have, it's just like the reason the iPad works now and the friggin' Lisa didn't work before, or the Newton or whatever the fuck that was. You know,
I know, but are you talking about the future or the past?
I'm talking about the future. Like now, stuff like that, like the Air Panel, could work given our 3G and our Wi-Fis and our WiMAXs. You know, I think the wireless ecosystem, if you will, is robust enough to support something like that, or will be soon.
Well, except the only problem with that is, why do you need a desktop client at home?
So right. You can play games on your big panel.
Right, but why not just run on a server somewhere and have it served up to your ARM-based Windows 8 tablet?
Well, I mean, you could obviously do that, but I'm thinking for those of us that aren't going to want to just say, oh, it's on a server somewhere, if we want to host the actual hardware ourselves, you know, if we don't trust the cloud for everything.
See, the thing
is,
it's
just an idea, Gordon.
No, I've never been a big believer in a thin client because I always think that people need more power, right? We have 6 cores now with 6, you know, we have 12 threaded machines. Developers will catch up. I can tell you at one point the Pentium and the Pentium 2 seem really fast.
Yeah.
So eventually it all gets soaked up. And I think people are always going to want more power in the desktop. I have a hard time believing that we're going to go to this, you know, thin client based future, which is, you know, I don't believe in it. I think there's some tasks that are suited for it, but I still think a lot of people are going to want fat computers.
Right. My point is this way, those of us who do want the fat computers will also be able to, you know, VNC into them from our little tablet things in a way that's a little less janky than today. That's all I was saying. I'm not saying that the fat client's going anywhere. I'm saying you ought to be able to tap into your huge fat client at home from wherever you are, like you do with Logman or whatever, only, you know, not quite as crappy looking.
Do you think Windows 8 on ARM is this? What do you think about this whole rumor? Do you think it's going to happen or not happen? Or
I think if it doesn't happen, if Microsoft doesn't address ARM in some way that's not WinMofo 7, then they're crazy. So yeah, I believe it. I don't know if it'll pan out or if it's one of those things like WinFS that's just going to be like, hey, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this, and then 5 years later we're like, yeah, we never did that, did we?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I think what makes more sense is for them to extend WinMofo 7. They've got a good interface. You know, people love it.
Yeah.
It's obviously, I think it's got a good chance of going places.
It's got Zune, it's got Xbox integration, all that stuff.
But I can't see taking all of the legacy associated with Windows and x86 and all the APIs and all the DLLs and just crap loads and megabytes of stuff, and then trying to somehow shoehorn that into an ARM-based tablet.
Well, they'd have to start over. Probably make it act like Windows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why even do that? Well, the interface, I mean, what I do like about Windows WinMofo 7 is Microsoft really rethought the interface. It's not 10 million icons. Why not just have, you know, this? I would think they would rethink the interface for a tablet. Because let's face it, this whole icon thing, it is kind of for dummies. And as you add more and more application, it becomes more unwieldy. I mean, I can't believe how many icons I have on my phone.
Yeah, if you go to your app drawer, right?
Right. And if you ever look at people with iPhones, holy crap, right?
They look like, yeah, it looks like your work desktop. Just like hundreds and hundreds of icons right on the desktop.
Isn't there something they say when the actors leave the set, Andy? I forget what the hell it is.
Get the hell out of here and no, you don't get an SAG credit.
I forget.
Right?
That's when, yes. You got it.
That's a. I got some friends working in LA trying to break into acting, and that's pretty much what they say it is.
So what restaurant do they work in?
No, that's true. I don't know the restaurant offhand.
I forget what we're even talking about. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? We're about to go on vacation.
We don't care. We've got senioritis. Who cares? We're making this up.
No, the Widows allegedly does want to put Widows on ARM, and I think it's a good move, but yeah, we'll see what happens. Nobody can fuck it up quite like Microsoft, so we'll see what happens.
They could do it. They could pull another sequel to the Kin, right?
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah.
But I see. My conspiracy theory is Kin was designed to make you think Windows 7 would be bad when Windows Phone 7 was actually good. So blowing Kin up lowered expectations, which made everybody really like, you know, like, wow, Windows Phone 7 is actually very nice.
It's an evil plot.
For the last thing, so top three predictions for next year.
Ooh, top three predictions for next year.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay, this is a tough one. I think there's going to be an iPad 2 next year.
On Verizon?
What?
Yes, there was going to be an iPad 2 next year, and believe this or not, there will be a new iPhone next year.
No.
Yes.
No.
Will it have a logo on it?
No. Possibly an Apple.
And a processor?
It will have a look. Yeah, it will.
Okay.
It'll be made entirely of glass, though. Not just the front and the back, but all the electronics, too.
Ceramic. Everything. Switches, yeah.
It runs on belief.
And you have to carry it around in, like, bubble wrap.
Exactly.
But they'll send you free bubble wrap.
What are the other predictions next year?
I predict I'm going to be compelled to build an AMD-based system because they're going to have a really good part that's good, cost-effective, and powerful.
Yeah,
I thought I was ridiculous for not believing in ghosts.
One thing about AMD is you never count them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I want to believe too. Yeah.
I think Bulldozer actually could be a good part.
Yeah, I think they better come out with something awesome next year.
Well, yeah, that would be nice if they would have something that competes on the high end instead of just playing the price game.
So your predictions are new Apple stuff, including stuff on Verizon. And
no, I didn't say that. Oh, I just said new iPhone.
New iPhone, yeah. Andy wants good AMD stuff. I predict that.
It's still going to be either 6 months until the Scarlet even becomes something to talk about, and then another 6 months before it actually launches. So I don't even think the Scarlet.
Oh, the Red Scarlet.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be out next year. That's a prediction.
Really?
Yeah, don't think
it's not out yet.
No.
Okay.
Here's my other prediction. Canon 5D Mark III.
Already? Ooh. Did they do updates that quickly
for next year?
Yeah.
I think they're going to do it. It's overdue.
Now this is the first year in 12 years that I'm going to say this, and people are going to be like, "Duh!" Instead of "That's crazy." Next year, Duke Nukem Forever. I predict Nukem Forever will come out.
Finally.
Will actually just come out. That's it. Full stop. I think Gearbox can get it done. I believe the Notion Ink Atom will never come out, or that it'll suck when it does. And same with the Scarlet or the Red Scarlet. Yeah, I think neither of those will appear.
I don't think that
neither will. The Red Scarlet or the Notion Ink Atom will appear. Notion Ink Atom is a tablet. Android fragmentation is going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, no, but here's another groundbreaking, astounding prediction. There will be an Android OS for tablets.
Yeah, no kidding.
2011. Hey, that's a prediction.
All right. I guess that's fair. If I was allowed to predict Duke Nukem Forever, then you're allowed to predict Honeycomb. Sandy Bridge will be awesome. I'm just no good at these predictions right now.
Jesus, predict something.
Okay.
Star Wars 12.
No, fucking, okay. BIOS dead by the end of the year. No boards will be shipping with regular old BIOS by December 2011. Everyone will have switched finally over to UEFI. 90% of motherboards will have USB 3.0 headers on them. And every hard drive will be SATA 6. And
that one's out there.
Sorry, SATA 3. SATA
6. You did say 3. You could just stop now at this point.
Well, why stop now?
Yeah, we're totally ripped people off. They're like, when is the fucking recap going to happen?
Yeah, where's the rant? We tuned in for the rant, damn it. All right, and so on that note,
instead of a past rant, well, we got a present rant.
Yeah, well, we'll do that first. Okay, okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean
that. Now, before we get into the part you've all been waiting for, Gordon Ma-ung's Rants of the Year, Part 1, now it's time for Gordon Ma-ung's Rant of the Week.
Who's the dumbass who came up with this idea? I mean, what kind of a fucking loser? You're wasting your fucking time. Total fucking loser. I hate all this shit.
Hey, you know, speaking of macro lenses?
Yeah.
You know who's got a really good macro lens, Andy?
No, who?
There's this fucking chain of pizza makers down here called Extreme Pizza. Right? They've got on their website, if you go to Extreme Pizza...
Do they have, like, sweet pepperoni shots and stuff?
No, but here, you look up the shot of the Monster Sub, right?
Okay.
Monster Sub. You look on the website, it's like, that's a Monster Sub. I'm ordering that.
I'm going.
You get the fucking thing, right? It's smaller than the 6-inch Subway sandwich.
6-inch?
Or maybe the same size as a 6-inch Subway sandwich.
Which is not very big.
Yeah, right.
Monster
Sub. So where the hell do you get Monster Sub? And you look at the picture on the website, it's like, what the hell? So you know they just got like the $1,200 L-lens macro to shoot that fucking Subway...
To make it look huge.
That Monster Sub to make it look huge. And they put it in Photoshop and said, oh, let's just pixel double this. Bring it up to 80 megapixels.
The pictures on here aren't very big, though.
Let me see. What are you talking about?
I'm looking at Monster Subs pics on extremepizza.com.
Yeah, the pictures aren't big, but doesn't that look pretty big?
Yeah, it looks like it would be a big one.
It doesn't imply that each of halves of that sandwich are 2 inches long. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, it should say on their fucking website, images are scale to scale, okay? Because they're like finger food sub sandwiches.
Finger food. Did you get burned by one?
Well, yeah, because we got the Maximum Tech free lunch. I ordered the Monster Sub, and I thought, well, it's a Monster Sub. You can't call it a Monster Sub unless it's monstrous. Unless, of course, you mean monstrously small. Mm. It's like the fucking Ant-Man of sandwiches, okay?
It beats its wife?
Yeah, it beats its wife, and then it shrinks down when you need help. Where did Ant-Man go? He shrunk. Same thing with a sandwich. I'm hungry. It just shrunk down.
It's like the opposite of a pufferfish. In that it's tasty. Maybe pufferfish are tasty. Are fugu considered pufferfish?
Wasn't there a Simpsons episode about that?
I have no idea.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, it is. It is. Pufferfish. Fugu. Most poisonous fish ever. But it's a
wait,
delicacy.
Now I understand what people were talking about.
We're shitting up the podcast?
You're shitting up the podcast by bringing irrelevant facts into the discussion.
How is that irrelevant?
Who's saying we're shitting up the podcast?
Somebody
I'm
on Facebook. I'll tell you exactly who it is. I'm gonna shout them out. To be fair, they're also complaining about Alex. This is...
Saw you, Andy.
Why are they complaining about anything? I mean,
Castle and Edwards, please stop shitting up the rant of the week. Thank you. This is from Alan Ridgely.
Oh, you're shitting up the rant of the week. That's like their sacred moment. That's their moment of levity every week, and you guys are...
I know.
Right. They have to stop through the whole aimless, pointless podcast, listen to the 5 minutes for some idiot yelling. Wait, is that me? Anyway, back to... So, I mean, the fucking thing, it's a Monster Sub, but it's tiny. It's fucking tiny. I'm going to order one next time and then put it next to a Subway sandwich. Take a picture and post it. There's nothing monstrous about it. All right, you know what else?
What else?
So it's the end of the year, right? So it's like, Natalie, our art director, who's a fucking Mac person, she just wants to clean everything because, you know, Mac people are like fucking type A people, right? You just know it.
Type A, go-getters and...
No, they're neat freaks, right?
That's not type A.
What?
It's not type A. It's not what type A means.
Overly organized, neat freaks? I think that seems correct.
No, that's not type A personality traits at all.
What the hell are you talking about, DSM-4?
No, just like ambitious, aggressive, business-like, controlling, shit, preoccupied shit, with status, time-conscious.
What?
It's type A. As opposed to type B, which is patient, relaxed, easygoing, and at time. What the hell are you doing?
I'm not doing. I'm not doing anything. What are you talking about?
Go on. Go back to your mischaracterization of type A personalities.
It doesn't matter. Here's what I've learned, Nathan. It doesn't have to be true if it's broadcast over the airs or said on the internet.
Well, that's true.
So why should you care about correcting the facts here?
Because every Starfleet officer has a duty to the truth.
Except when they lie.
Well, that's where Picard shovels it in under personal truth, right? In Next Generation, Picard's like, the first duty of every Starfleet officer is to the truth, whether it's scientific truth or historical truth or personal truth.
Okay. Here the example would be, hey, this is the last podcast of the year. In just a few minutes, you'll be hearing the entire wrap-up of all the rants from this year. Except, if we go by the book, as Nathan Edwards says, minutes would seem like hours, and hours would seem like days.
That's relativity. Technically, I still think the half an hour it's been so far counts as a few minutes.
Well,
you totally missed that Wrath of Khan reference.
Oh, I did.
You're right. Shit. I'm ashamed.
Well, where was that rant headed? Because it got shit on really bad.
Right. So here's where it's headed. So she cleans up her desk. Right? She gets the 409 out. She cleans her desk, cleans her fucking Mac, right? And her keyboard. And then she's like, I've got nothing else to do. I'm going to clean out the fridge, our little mini fridge. And we have a mini fridge because the other one, they throw everything away at 2 o'clock. So she starts like, okay, I'm going to throw away this old food, sandwiches. Okay, that's fine. But we also have like several bottles of tequila tamer.
Tequila tamer?
Is.
Not
yeah, you drink your tequila and then you take your tequila tamer with it.
It's a sangrita.
Yeah, we haven't tried it yet. It's actually this. It's we got sent a box by person who used to run PC Power and Cooling.
Yeah, I saw.
So anyway, so we have the tequila tamer. You have to refrigerate it. It's in the refrigerator. It's on this little tiny shelf, like a little 2-inch shelf in the mini fridge. And she's like, "I'm getting rid of these." It's like, "Why are you getting rid of those?" Because we're not using them. So they're not fucking hurting you, right? So there's like 8 little bottles of this stuff. She wants to throw it away. It's on the shelf you can't use to put anything on. But because she's a fucking Mac user and she's a goddamn neat freak type A personality, she has to throw it away.
Oh, shit. You're really pissed.
Well, I mean, it's just like, whoa, this is community. Why would you have to throw this away? There's like, okay, there's 2 bottles of beer that probably expired 5 years ago. Then there's like, and here's the other thing. There's like a mini mustard bottle that somebody who went to the restaurant next door got for free with their meal, did not use the mini mustard bottle, brought it back here and refrigerated it, which you don't have to do because it's fucking mustard and it's not open, right?
Yeah.
One thing Natalie did take out of the fridge that was a good move is about 3 pounds of salad that you'd left in there for a couple months.
That's fine. That's fair game. But here's the thing. So the mini mustard bottle, which doesn't have to be refrigerated, she doesn't throw out because it's cute.
But she throws out the tequila tamer.
Right, which to me look fine. They're bottles. They need to be refrigerated. They're being stored in a refrigerator. They're not bothering anybody. But she has to get rid of it.
Apparently the tequila tamer didn't pass the muster.
I was going to say maybe they just released an upgrade of the tequila tamer, a slightly better version, so she has to go buy it.
Well, a higher wattage version, yes.
Yes.
But I mean, I had to rescue the damn things, so I've got them all. I've got to take them home, but I've actually decided instead of taking them home, I'm just going to keep hiding them in her possessions over the next 3 fucking months.
You're just going to mess with her. Oh, boy.
Tequila tamer everywhere.
Is she still there? I feel like...
No, she's not.
She needs to defend herself.
She was here.
Oh, okay.
I hope she listens to the podcast, but she doesn't.
Oh, man. It kind of sounds like you're really upset at her, Gordon. Like,
well, I just have this problem. It's like, well, see, the problem is she's type A.
Yeah.
And she sits across from me. And you've seen my desk, which looks like a garbage truck collided with a pile of, I don't know, a McDonald's delivery truck, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, having this huge mess of electronics and crap sitting basically, you know, a foot away from her must drive her nuts. So she's gone batshit crazy, and she's cleaning the fridge out to get back at me.
All right, and now it's time for Gordon Ma-Ung's Rants of the Year, Part 1. Tune in next week for Part 2, and have a wonderful holiday season and a happy new year, and we'll see you in 2011. Peace out.
And now it's time for Gordon Ma-Ung's Rant of the Week.
You guys keep hearing this term. I see it all the time in tech reporting, and it just kind of fucking pisses me off whenever I see it, because it's a so-and-so has stolen this from so-and-so's playbook. Right? Well, looks like Microsoft's going to borrow this from Apple's playbook.
Borrow a page from their playbook, even.
Borrow their page from their... There's, number one, there's no fucking playbook, all right? And the people who keep using that phrase probably don't even watch football.
It's a football reference? Yeah, it's a joke. You can cut that.
Oh, it stays. It stays. Yeah.
Damn you.
But yeah, I mean, it's just like, you see it everywhere, though. Oh, Cisco has stolen this page from Microsoft. It's so fucking overused.
It's as bad as, you think it's as bad as thrown blank under the bus was during the campaign season?
Yeah, it's not. And the problem is throwing someone on the bus doesn't have the same impact that it used to be, because it used to be, oh, he got thrown out of the bus. Oh man, that's fucking horrible. But you know, people get run over by buses all the time, and apparently they survive now. So you gotta like.
Oh, that's why it's not as impactful.
Really, you hear it so much. You're like, oh, thrown on the bus. Well, fuck, I hear that so much. Everybody gets thrown on the bus, right? Yeah. It's like, who's surprised? Oh, he got thrown on the bus. Shit, I got thrown out of the bus coming up the stairs today, right? Everybody uses it. So there's no shock value.
It's, you know, they've destroyed the meaning of it.
I don't actually even totally understand what thrown under the bus means. I mean, in what circumstance would you actually literally throw somebody under a bus?
Well,
I wouldn't. I just like to go on the record.
The actual circumstance, I think, would be, I mean, you know, you do understand. So it would be, I think I can explain it in Left 4 Dead terms.
Yes.
Hey, I'm injured, right? Three of the other guys have health packs, right? I'm injured. I only have 5% of health. But instead of them healing me when the tank attacks, they just run off.
Into the safe room.
I get attacked by the tank, of course. I've been thrown under the bus.
Well, see, that makes sense to me, because then they're saving themselves at your expense. But thrown under the bus implies, like, actual active malignance. You know, that would be like if they shoved you into the tank just to see you, you know, get squished.
No, I think it's mostly because they're doing it. They when you get thrown under the bus, it's because they're doing that for their own benefit as well.
Well, right, that is my main question. At what point does it benefit you to throw somebody else under a bus?
Oh, all the time. But the problem is, it gets you so much, like stealing somebody's page from their playbook, that nobody, it doesn't, what the hell? That's like, it's meaningless. Apparently people get thrown under the bus all the fucking time.
I don't want to ride that bus, for the record.
We use Outlook here and Exchange. And apparently our IT department gives us about 5 megabytes worth of space on the server. Because every 3 months, your inbox will get full. But what I really like is your inbox is full, which means you have too much email, right?
Yeah.
So what do? So every 15 fucking minutes, they send a message that says, your inbox is full. Your inbox is full. Of course it's full. You keep sending me my inbox is full messages. I would go to my phone. I would check it. They would come so fast. I couldn't even delete them in time. You know, you would delete 5, and you'd check it an hour later, and there'd be like another 5. You guys don't run out of email here?
Almost never. It's happened to me twice.
I'm on like 4 mailing lists, and I don't think any of them actually understand what I do here, because I can just delete them right away.
Well, I think it's. I know Norm has this issue because there's not enough space. Maybe you guys just don't get big enough attachments or something.
I like how Outlook classifies anything over 5 megabytes as an enormous attachment.
What I like is people can't even send me mail that's larger than 10 megs. So if 10 is a limit here, so I have to have vendors send me files that I need for work to, like, you know, Gmail, just to get the damn thing, because our work server can't handle it. Now, you know what I've noticed is people who don't have kids, they don't understand, because they think it's cool. It's like, look, I'm going to get you a toy. I'm going to get this toy for you because it's cool for your kids. Oh, you mean that was easy button? Now, number one, you can tell she doesn't have kids. Because who the fuck wants to listen to a kid press the that was easy button over and over and over and over and over again? Wait. She doesn't get it, right? She goes home. But no, the kid will continue to press that.
Should we clarify? Is there a button you can buy that just has
a... There's a button that you can buy at a Staples store. it's from the commercial. It's the that was easy button.
Probably a child's toy, per se.
Well, I know it's not, and it's also really annoying. But of course, my sister bought that for my kids because, like, oh, it's cool. Or maybe she's just fucking pissed off at me over something. I'm getting you this loud toy. Next week, I'm getting you the 1,000 sticker set, and then also the 1,000 bead set. Right? They do that just to mess with you.
Yep. But you want a hard button.
That is easy. That was easy button. You press it. Goes. That was easy. It's loud. Right? The kids, of course, oh, it's cool. So they'll press it over and over and over and over again. And he's like, Jesus. And of course, you think about it, it's like, why would you ever press that was easy button?
If something was really easy.
You celebrate the easiness, the ease.
Yeah, but who the hell would... That's not like, oh, it's like, oh, that was easy. You don't like, hey, oh, wow, I'm really excited. That was easy.
Really? well, sometimes...
No, really, it should be that was really fucking hard, right? I mean, that's what you want to press the fucking button for.
It dispenses a shot of Jägermeister.
No, it just should be like, damn, that was really hard. I'm pushing this button.
Now I want a drink.
Now it's like, that's people know, man, that was really hard. Yeah, I understand you pressed that button. Of course, it was like, that was easy. Everybody presses it. You press that for everything.
I just got
a cup of water. Well, that was easy. I'm pressing the button. Right?
Well, it could be good for trash talk, like after a match in Team Fortress 2 or something. You just hold up to the mic and start jamming on that was easy button.
I suppose, but I'm just saying it's just not that useful. It should be like, damn, that was hard. You know? You like after a really hard, grueling day at 6 o'clock, you press a button.
Yeah.
But you know, that would be satisfying. And everybody would shake their head. They'd go like, yeah, that was really a fucking tough day, wasn't it? I am. But no, that was easy button. It would be like, what the hell are you pressing that for? I just got a cup of coffee. It was pretty easy. Oh, okay.
All right, guys, I got to go ahead to the train.
I just healed cancer.
That was fucking hard. Man, that was really fucking hard.
All right, see you guys.
All right, the first thing, this comes up from looking at a Star Wars Encyclopedia, which is really cool. Got it as a gift from someone.
Yeah. I think I got that too, like a long time ago.
Oh, really? But I was looking through that, and it had the name of the guy who was a hero in the Rebel Alliance for crashing his I think it was an A-Wing. Into the Star Destroyer, the Super Star Destroyer, causing it to crash into the Death Star, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't want to ignite a war here, but you always hear everybody talking about how a starship could easily be defeated by a Star Destroyer. But when all you have to do is fucking knock the little balls off the top of the Star Destroyer, how hard is it for that ship to be taken out by a starship? All a starship would have to do is use the phasers to cut off the little balls, and the fucking Star Destroyer would lose its shields and crash into something.
And it didn't even take that much firepower to destroy the balls on top.
I know, it didn't take anything. Like, an X-Wing flew by, fired a couple rounds into it, it blew up, and then a guy crashed into the bridge, the whole fucking thing crashes into the Death Star. And that's a Super Star Destroyer, mind you. Yeah,
that was the Executioner.
That was the Executioner. So you're telling me, so it's too bad Norm is not here, because Norm is always the defender of the Star Destroyer. But there's just no way. What? Norm is claiming we have a technical difficulty here, which is why Norm and Nathan are gone. But Norm is saying he's not a defender of the Star Destroyer. Yet, how could that possible? Oh, so Norm, of course, Norm claims he doesn't support the Star Destroyer as being better than the Starship.
put it but, in airplane
Nathan,
mode.
Nathan here, he's a pro Star Destroyer guy, right?
I don't... It depends what you mean. The awesome firepower of a Star Destroyer cannot be overstated, but I think you are correct as to their terrible design errors.
Yeah, the little balls on top that you knock off and all the shields go offline. So
not to mention the incredibly vulnerable command deck. I mean, they knocked out the Executor by slamming an A-Wing into the command deck.
Wait, so you're going to agree with me, you being the Star Wars fan, that a starship would win in a matchup with a Star Destroyer?
Oh, what starship? Just like a starfighter?
Even the original. Say the original Enterprise, which of course was the most powerful ever.
They're two totally incompatible worlds. There's no point doing an Enterprise versus Star Destroyer, Enterprise versus Death Star. You can't, they're just, the world universes are just so incompatible, you can't do it. Doesn't make sense.
Well, so is Hulk versus Superman, but it's done anyway.
Was that a good idea, Gordon? Tell me the truth.
I never actually read that comic, but I would have thought Superman would obviously be able to beat him since he's smarter and he can fly. But of course, then somebody was telling me, I think Norm was telling me that the Hulk can get so angry that they said he can't even drown, right?
No, he'll adapt. His rage basically is the MacGuffin, yeah, which makes everything happen.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all. I don't actually believe that to be an original Stanley creation, that the Hulk can get so mad that he can breathe underwater. I mean, what the fuck? Who could ever get that mad?
You. I would believe
even
that
if
you
I
could.
Got that mad, I'd still fucking drown. But you can't get that mad.
We should take the rant underwater and see how long it lasts.
Okay. Starship more powerful than Star Destroyer. That was easy.
Whoa, dude. Just because I don't think that it's a valid argument doesn't mean the Enterprise automatically wins.
It would.
What? All right, I'm falling for the trap. I'm jumping on this grenade. That's bullshit. It wouldn't.
Why? I mean, look at this one. Number one, we're talking about the original Enterprise. That is right. The Mike Ditka of starships, right?
It has an awesome mustache.
Yeah,
it hasn't been relevant for 30 years.
You could never destroy. The original Enterprise could not be destroyed. Nothing could destroy or break the Enterprise.
Well, then we'd still be on the NCC 1701, then, wouldn't we? If nothing could
except
take it.
That Kirk blew it up himself.
Right.
That's how tough it is. It had to kill itself. Star Destroyers, though, you crash an A-Wing into little balls, and easy to take out. That's it. It's over. And that's the largest Star Destroyer ever. That's the Executor.
Yeah. On the other hand, all the Star Destroyer would have to do was get a couple good turbo laser shots, and they would blow up the control panels on the Enterprise's deck, and half the bridge crew would die, and the ship would effectively be done.
Yeah, that's sure. That's only if they were running with their shields down, which they wouldn't do. I mean, lasers against the Federation's shields, it would never do anything. It would just bounce off harmlessly.
Nothing bounces off. You hit the Enterprise's shields with bricks for more than 10 minutes, the shields start falling. Shields fall in 40%. Shields are never at 100%.
That's only on the 1701D, the original Enterprise. Nothing can ever get through the shields. And even if the shields were down, you still couldn't damage it. We're talking the original Enterprise here. Name me one instance where they ever damaged the Enterprise heavily. The original. Not the movie ones.
Tribbles.
They still ran the ship. The ship still ran.
Could you really call that life? Surrounded by tribbles.
Okay, I think I'm declaring myself winner here.
I'm looking up. I found an excellent Enterprise D versus Imperial Star Destroyer memo from a lawyer, but I don't see. So no, this is obviously a debate that has raged on for ages.
I just to be fair, I like Star Wars. I love Star Wars. I'm a huge fan of Star Wars. But there's no way a Star Destroyer could ever, ever, ever destroy a starship. And here's another reason why.
Well, wait. This could play into your other topic about how the Empire really isn't that bad. Because maybe they didn't even think they'd be attacked ever.
That's true. The Empire's all of their turbo lasers are purely for defensive reasons.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't need to come up with a great defensive strategy for their Star Destroyers because they never figure anybody would be aggressive.
Right. They were just helping people out.
Yeah.
Freeing the slaves on Tatooine. They freed all those slaves. They abolished slavery on Tatooine. No retort there, Nathan?
I'm sorry. I'm researching Star Destroyer versus Enterprise stuff. Did they abolish slavery on Tatooine?
Yes. Because under the Empire, there was no slavery on Tatooine. Whereas in the Old Republic, it was fine. All day, yeah, no problems.
They did not do anything other than that. I mean, crime was still rampant. Look at Jabba the Hutt. He was more powerful under the Empire than he ever was under the, you know.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, they were laissez-faire.
That's not true. There were huts, if you recall, during the times of the Old Republic, too.
Oh, I know there were huts. I'm just saying Jabba seems, without the Imperial garrison didn't seem to have severely cramped Jabba's style.
Jabba,
well, organized crime, you have to remember, organized crime is different than just normal crime. Organized crime is quite different.
It's organized.
Yes. So I don't think that's a failure of the Empire.
Jabba no bother.
The Jabba no bother. I tickle Jabba now. The thing that bothered me about Bib Fortuna is it didn't sound like he was trying to speak a different language like Huttese. He was just mangling English.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. But that made it all the more charming because you kind of understand what he's saying.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, is that a new Star Wars character?
Are you kidding? He's Jabba's Major Domo, the Twi'lek at the beginning, you know. Luke Skywalker shows up in Jedi and he's like, "You will take me to Jabba now." And he's like,
"There goes Jabba now." I didn't know his name.
The pasty Twi'lek, Bib Fortuna.
I thought it was a little creepy thing that would hang out on his shoulder.
That's Salacious Crumb, the Kowakian monkey lizard.
Okay, wow.
You know all these character names, but you cannot argue a Star Destroyer defeating a starship.
I don't think Star Destroyers are well engineered.
I think Andy's right. I think it's just because starships were purely for defensive purposes, and they would travel from planet to planet, helping people rebuild their planets.
Why do they call them Star Destroyers then?
That's bad PR there.
Well, because a destroyer is just a class of ship. I win. I win for all the starship nerds who think a Star Destroyer would lose. Thanks, Nathan.
People, if you have evidence to convince Gordon otherwise, and I don't think you do, I hope you do, please call in 1-877-404-1337, extension 1337, and lend your voice to our battle.
The sleep buttons on keyboards are fucking stupid.
There's sleep buttons on your keyboard?
Well, Microsoft keyboard had a sleep button on it in the lab, and it's just in this place where you always punch the fucking sleep button. So you'd be in the middle of doing something, typing, and you hit the sleep button, it'll of course instantly go to sleep.
And you never need to just put it to sleep instantly.
Yeah, well, why would you need to have one button sleep? I mean, when would you ever need to do that? It's so hard to click two things. Click start and then click the sleep button.
Yeah, I prefer like a function sleep button, like especially on a laptop. That's fine.
Right. That's okay if you got to do something, but it's out in the open. It's very easy for your palm to brush on it, put the damn thing to sleep, and wipe out all the entire benchmark run.
Oh, here's right. Something that's always bugged me. Here's
it's been like three times. What?
I have never had a desktop system that was capable of coming back from S3 sleep. It just won't ever do it.
Are you serious?
What's S3 yes. sleep?
It's sleep mode, hibernation. Oh. Or no, just sleep.
What's every the qualifier time, S3 though? Is that just
it's just different levels. One is, you know, there's S1, S2, S3. Oh. It's just different levels of sleep. Some of them there's just I think S4 is actually a full hibernation. I think S3 is suspended RAM.
So when it starts dreaming, it's S3.
Exactly. Yeah. Dreaming of electric sheep. But yeah.
You're kidding. Your machine at home, if you do, you send it to sleep, will not go to sleep.
It'll go to sleep. It just won't come back. And I've enabled the, you know, repost VGA at resume and wake on, you know, PS2, USB. It'll act like it's starting to come back up, but the screen will never come back on no matter what I do.
I'm
video cards, ATI, NVIDIA, motherboards from MSI, Gigabit, and now Asus, and I have just never been able to get a machine that consistently comes back from sleep mode.
I've never had a problem with sleep in years.
Really?
You just build it, it goes right to sleep. It's even XP worked for me. Vista's even better, and 7 are great at sleep. But
none of those three I have ever gotten to work, and I follow our guides, and you know, I apparently can't put it to sleep. I dread having children. They'll just never sleep.
So if your machine in lab, well, the machine you build in labs, they'll sleep.
Oh, yeah, they'll sleep fine.
So it's just something at your house.
But I've lived in three or four different houses. you know, in the past 3 years. Or no, I've lived in like five places in the last 3 years. And it's not the house. It's not the video card. It's not the motherboard. It's not the bio settings. I think it's me. I think they're afraid to sleep.
It would definitely be the problem is front of the keyboard.
Yeah, user at end of push the button. Error at end of keyboard.
Or you just didn't push the sleep button that's on the keyboard.
Yeah, maybe you need a sleep button. Maybe that's what it's for. Maybe this keyboard is for you.
It could very well be.
All I know is they just piss me off because I do it all the time. I hit it. Damn thing goes to sleep. I have to start all over again. This really gets me. Okay, then this is really I was angry about this for like a fucking week. So, you know, this is Verizon, who I love because the network will, I mean, it will work like underwater, okay?
It's the Hulk of...
It's the Hulk of fucking cell phone networks. It works everywhere.
The phones won't work underwater, but the network will.
Yeah, but... So it's like, okay, obviously their network is far better than AT&T, as we know, because they make fun of them in their commercials, and generally most AT&T iPhone users will agree that the AT&T network is a joke.
Yes.
Well, so now, of course, Verizon, being the position they are, now they're just decided to fuck everybody, because what they've done is... If you have, so you have a smartphone, got to pay for data plan. Okay, right. I can buy that. $30, whatever, unlimited, not, you know, unlimited, not really unlimited data plan, $30. Okay, that's cool. You got a smartphone. But now what they're doing is like, if you have just your shitty LG phone that has a QWERTY keyboard, most people buy those for texting. The fact that that's a 3G phone and you can download stuff and it has, you know, a shitty browser and you can do shitty email on it. All of those people must now take $10 data plans.
Even if you don't use the data.
Even if you don't use the data. So like for us, we have four phones on our plan. Right? My smartphone plus three just texting phones. We have unlimited texting. That's fine. But now, of course, Verizon's trying to fuck everybody and say, all three of those phones have to take a $10 data plan, even though we don't want the data plan. And then this is how asinine their fucking policy is. Even if you said like, hey, we have kids, we don't want them to have internet because we don't want them to cruise porn or learn how to build bombs, that kind of stuff, you know, join Al-Qaeda on the internet on their phones.
On their LG.
On their LG phone or Samsung. We don't want that. So Verizon's response to that is, oh, no problem. We can block the internet access so your kids can't access the internet. Oh, so you mean I don't have to pay? Oh, no. You still have to fucking pay the $10 per line, but we'll block the internet access for you.
And you probably have to pay extra for them to block it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised there's, oh, well, there's a blocking fee, too.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck? And it's so fucked. There's like, so, like, if you bought a phone in December, that's one of these, an NV3, right? Which is what we were actually going to upgrade some of the lines to. If you bought an NV3 in December, no problem, no data plan. If you bought it in January, after January 18th, you have to take a $10, you have to pay $10 charge. Same phone. And I mean, they've just, and it's structured just to screw you every possible way because it's like, okay, what if I bought a phone on eBay and I don't take a contract with you? And I add it. It's like, oh, well, that's when we'd have to add the $10. What? So you're basically screwed. The minute you change your plan or you add another phone, you have to pay the extra $10 per shitty phone. And the really fucked thing is like, oh, well, it's not a problem. If you don't want to do this $10 thing, you can buy a phone that doesn't have 3G internet access. Okay, what phones do that? We have these three phones here. They're basically like, they're phones from like 20 years ago, right? It's like a flip phone from like 1992, right? If you do that, then you don't have to pay the $10. So you basically, if you want a nice phone with a nice camera and some features, they are just going to screw the hell out of you to get their $10 per line.
Damn.
Isn't that, I mean, that, and of course the thing is like, okay, well, fuck you. We're switching to AT&T once the contracts are up.
Oh, yeah, but
I know. I was like, I will deal. Even though I love Verizon Network, it's just so much better than AT&T. You know, just on principle, I just can't get screwed on stuff we're not using, right?
Yeah.
So AT&T apparently is going to do the same thing. But I think, I'm not sure, but I think AT&T may structure it so, you know, we don't, if you do unlimited text, we won't charge you the $10. Mm. So it's like, okay, I can live with that. So as soon as our contracts are up, you know, it's like, screw you, Verizon, we're leaving. But I mean, I just can't believe anybody would screw its customers like that. I mean, especially over something like, you know, things you don't want. I mean, I'm so mad, I'm going to go pick at a store one of these days. I'm going to make a sign that says, ask me about Verizon's unfair data plan charges. And I'm going to pick at a Verizon store one afternoon in San Francisco. And they'll probably call the cops, who will probably beat the shit out of me or something. But I'm going to do, I swear to God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pick at a Verizon store over this. That's how fucking pissed off I am.
You're like almost underwater breathing level.
Yeah. I could breathe underwater. I'm so fucking angry.
Shit. Gordon, smash.
I mean, don't you think that's just like, I mean, how screwed is that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an extra $400 a year for something you don't use. I mean, if you have three lines, and there's people with five lines, and that's,
yeah,
Jesus, $50 a month?
That's,
and then to tell you, we'll turn it off. Well, no problem. We'll block that internet access, but you still have to fucking pay us. Yeah, there's no defense of that.
No.
Luke Wilson's not looking so bad.
Oh, God. I despise everything that Luke Wilson has been doing for AT&T. There's a rant for you. But why did AT&T think that puffy Luke Wilson was the best person to advertise their network? Basically, they're like, oh, well, you've seen all these maps that Verizon's been showing us. Well, I'm here to tell you, nuh-uh. And I'm, you know, the he's not only Luke Wilson, who is already the poor man's Owen Wilson.
Right.
But he's not even at the, you know, he's obviously not at his prime here. You know, he's not Royal Tenenbaum's Luke Wilson. He's AT&T commercials Luke Wilson. It's just sad and irritating.
They should have a commercial that says, look how Verizon's fucking all of its loyal customers with this data plan.
At AT&T, we reward everyone who bought smartphones by not having a network that can support more than two in a square mile.
You know how fucking angry I am? If I switch to AT&T, I will get an iPhone.
Oh, don't do it.
I mean, I don't care. I don't care. I mean, you just can't screw people like that. It's just not right.
Right, wrong. They're the ones with the network.
I'll just wait for the 4G iPhone, whatever the hell it's going to be, and get that. I don't care.
I'll get an Android phone. There'll be pretty good Android phones on AT&T soon.
I'm still
waiting for a decent enough Android phone to, you know, switch off from my falling apart iPhone, which is now held together with gaffer tape. True story.
So we have a machine here that so people don't know. So we've got this is a big coffee machine. We can't just, number one, we can't just have, and have I already talked about this before? I don't think I have. We can't just have like a normal coffee machine with a decanter and coffee, because people here would never clean it and it would just like turn into a total mess because people here is too fucking lazy to clean it up. So instead, what we have is a great big huge machine. You push the button, you put your cup under there, you know, and you can get your coffee, decaf coffee, whatever, mocha. But I don't know if it's the machine is programmed wrong or the people who bought the cups bought the wrong fucking cups. But if you do the mocha, setting, have you guys done this? It fills it all the way to the brim. I mean, like, absolutely, like, it's right there to the top. So the other day, I'm like, you know, I'm tired, I'm getting a mocha. Reach into the machine to get my mocha. And the fucking coffee spills all over my hand and burns the shit out of it. Because you cannot get the cup out of the machine without spilling coffee.
There's no manual mode where you can release the button 3/4 the way up and it sort of just like spits the rest out?
No. It fills, you put this cup, it's like, I think it's probably like a 12-ounce cup, and it fills it all the way to the brim, right to the brim. I mean, this is, you have to have, what was that guy from Kung Fu? You'd have to have his hands to get the fucking coffee out of the machine without spilling it on yourself or on the floor. No? You don't agree, Nathan?
You
use a cup, though, right?
I don't know. I've never seen this machine.
Oh, right.
I only I get the two espressos, and then I add soy milk, so I don't get the. I don't have a problem with volume.
Hmm. Oh. You know what?
I get the Cafe Americano, and that's also maybe 4/5 full. I've never.
Right, that one's right. No, they have that setting right. But if you do the mocha, it adds a little bit of extra whatever, not real chocolate, some kind of powdered shit to it, and it makes it just enough that you cannot get the cup out of there.
My biggest regret when I came for the showdown like a year and a half ago or whatever was not taking a visit to.
You should have come by.
No, I came to the office.
Oh.
But what I didn't visit was the coffee machine, because that had been a subject of the rant before. And I did not visit the third floor bathroom, which I know was a very contentious spot.
You know, maybe we should actually take a picture of the coffee machine and of the bathroom so people can see what we're talking about. The hand jar that we've long complained about.
Yeah, like I've always wanted to see these things. And
it's actually now getting that funky mold on it, because it's just the water just gets trapped in the bottom and just sits there.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yeah, and you can see there's like this trail of like either mildew or mold down the side of it already. Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Maybe we should post a picture on the website. I don't know where the hell we'd put that, though. Here's our bathroom, I guess. No, wait, I don't think we can legally do that.
I did do that SketchUp thing a while back. I could spend a week making a very realistic render of our bathroom.
Yeah.
I think that would be worth it.
So I get the coffee. I burn my hand. I'm like, fuck. So then like, okay. Then I'm going around the corner, and I bump my hand into the wall, and I spill more coffee onto the floor. No, in most office environments, that's not a problem, because you've got carpeting. But our floors, down the hallways only, are concrete, treated with some extra slippery shit. If there's any liquid on there, you will break your neck. I spilled the coffee on the floor. So I said, well, since I'm actually the responsible one, I have to go back and get some towels and then dry the floor, because I don't want somebody to break their neck. But there are other people in this office will just spill their coffee or water on the floor and then just leave it there. But think about it. This floor, it's like a bowling alley floor. It's like this mirror finish practically. If you get liquid on there, you're going to die.
Do you know where the caution wet floor signs are?
Don't have any. Oh. Like, I better send. I mean, we just have a lawsuit. Oh, shit. Wait a minute. That's what I'll do. I'm going to spill some water, and then I'm going to do a slip and fall on myself, and then that's how I can just claim whatever. Put a claim in with the company.
Although now they have.
Now they know.
Now they have recorded evidence that you're going to do that.
This doesn't mean that still, I could still argue in court, like, I know I did the slip and fall, and you have proof, but who the hell would put an office floor with the slippery ass material? And the jury would go like, well, he's got a point. I mean, even though he did this himself, you guys are asking for this lawsuit by making the floor so damn slippery.
Maybe they know that you apparently can't stop spilling your coffee everywhere, and they didn't want the carpet to soak it up and then get a stain.
But they could just do, like, a carpet, it's got the pattern, so you can't tell that there's food and there's taco sauce and everything just kind of smashed into it, right? The coffee would be fine. You would never even notice there's coffee there. But no, it's like a slick surface that you get water on, and you, I'm telling you, it's a great scam. So we went to go see Shutter Island. So it's like, okay, you know, we have kids, so we get to see like a movie every 4 months. We go to see Shutter Island, getting ready to sit down and enjoy the movie. And then the trailer is for an A-Team movie.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Could you believe that? How could you make a movie on the A-Team?
Well, they're strip mining the 80s for content.
It just kills me. I was like, I'm not even sure. Was that an 80s show or a 70s show? It's just like, it just pissed me off. It's like, I mean, what's next? And of course, I was like, well, what's next? Are they going to do Magnum P.I. the movie or Rockford? And then, of course, my friend sends me a message. He goes like, hey, dude, I saw they're actually doing a Rockford movie or Rockford TV show. They're remaking Rockford.
What?
Yeah, they're remaking Rockford. I don't even know who the assholes are going to get to play it. But see, the thing is, like, some of our benchmark tests, people don't know this. Some of our benchmark tests are based on Rockford, right? We have to do some of the rundown tests.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, episode of Rockford, because I love Jim Rockford that much, right? James Garner was like, he was Chuck Norris before Chuck Norris was around.
Man, Chuck Norris.
What?
Fuck Chuck Norris.
Say that again. Say that two more times and see what happens.
Come on.
Two more times.
Oh, God, he's here. Oh, God.
See?
No, nothing happened. Wow, nothing happened. I feel liberated.
Yeah, that's because it's witnesses. Wait till you're riding your little bike down the street.
I leave my little bike out of this.
But no, I'm serious. So like Rock, Jim Rockford is like, he's like a hero of mine. And of course they're going to fuck it up like they fucked up in that Knight Rider remake, which I didn't like Knight Rider, but you can't remake it and not use a fucking Pontiac Firebird, right? You can't use a Mustang for Knight Rider.
Oh, Jesus. This is worse than I feared. So the new Rockford Files is starring some guy who was in My Best Friend's Wedding, Dermot Mulroney. And right. It's executive produced and written by the dude who created House, which basically the new Rockford character, according to ScreenCrave.com, is described as slightly crumpled, wry-humored, cynical, world-weary, compassionate when it's called for, and easily irritated by morons. So it's House. Exactly. This is awful. I still don't know. The one episode of the Rockford Files I've seen is Beamer's Last Stand, and I've seen, because we use it for our rundown test, we use the first 40 minutes of it. I have seen the first 40 minutes of one Rockford Files episode literally hundreds of times. I still don't know how it ends. That is my entire association. But I like Jim Rockford.
James Garner is he's a classic American actor. And who are they getting? I don't even know who the hell this guy is. But none of the movies sound like they're all chick flicks, for God's sake. So how can this guy be, how could he ever fill James Garner's shoes and be Jim Rockford? And he probably won't be driving a Firebird. He'll probably be driving a fucking Mustang or something like that. I mean, and then what are they going to do next? Okay, I was thinking they could remake Sanford and Son, maybe. Maybe Joni Loves Chachi. Maybe, what was that? What was the show with Archie Bunker? What the hell was that? All in the Family?
Mm-hmm.
They could just take some true classic American TV and fuck it all up again.
Remember when they made a Brady Bunch movie in the 90s?
Yeah, but that was kind of, it was almost kind of funny because it was sort of bizarro Brady. I just think it's wrong. You can't take something that is just got this cult following and then fuck it up. I don't think you were born when the A-Team was on the air, but this would be the show for people who don't know. The one episode, they're flying this Huey. The bad guys are flying the Huey. The A-Team gets it to crash. The Huey crashes into the side of the mountain, crumples, you know, into like a soda can, and then falls a couple hundred yards to the ground and then blows up. And then the guys get out of the car, out of the helicopter. Two guys get out of the helicopter. And then, of course, the typical A-Team episode, they get trapped somewhere. Hey, we've got the A-Team. We need to keep them prisoner instead of like, let's just shoot them, right? No, no, no. Put them in this room with like, oh, you mean in this room with nothing in it? Oh, no, put them in this room with a blowtorch, about 500 extra, some old car parts, all these other kind of things you could easily create a weapon out of. They would create the weapon. They would blow their way out of the room. And then, of course, and another typical A-Team thing is they would all be shooting their mini-14s, right? So they would just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rounds at the bad guys. And nobody would ever get hit. Not even like a flesh wound.
So they're the Star Destroyers of action heroes.
Yes, they have what's called CSS. Can't shoot shit syndrome.
And by the way, Alex and I were alive during the show's run from January 23, 1983 to March 8, 1987. We were alive for the second half of that anyway.
But you probably weren't watching it, right?
I was alive too.
No.
Barely.
Oh, we were. Andy.
That's right. Well,
did you guys watch it when you were kids?
No, I didn't have a TV till I was 5.
And I suppose your parents wouldn't let you watch something as violent as the A-Team.
You are correct. I was raised by wolves.
My parents did let us watch all the violent stuff back then because it was okay. Back then it was okay to watch violent stuff. But that's the A-Team, and now they're remaking it, and they're going to fuck it up. Liam Neeson? Jeez. Nathan said something. What the hell did you say, Nathan?
You brought something up, and I imitated
you were saying something, and I said, what are you – and then he said – "What?" I forget what he said, but Nathan actually said bra.
Like as in the term – bro, but bra.
No, I know.
I was making, whatever the context was, Gordon said something like, I don't even remember, but it was a context in which me jokingly saying, well, yeah, bra, dude, or something like that would have been, you know, reasonable. It's not part of my regular vocabulary.
Was he like doing the method air or something? Like, what was he doing?
I don't know. It could have been making fun of frat boys. I don't remember.
There's an imitation because Nathan really does use the term bra, but he actually said it, and I realize how annoying it is when some fuckhead who thinks they're cool uses the term bra, okay?
I'd like to say for the record that the only time I seriously use the word bra is when I'm referring to a brassiere. Or a brasserie, which is a type of bakery, I believe.
Or your or your best bros.
Or your best bros, and you're some fucking asshole who thinks, like, you're from Hawaii.
I call them brosif. Or broham. I don't do that.
It just annoys me. I just realize that, you know, people who talk like that, they just sound like assholes.
That was a quick mini rant.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the people who say word. It's like, number one, you know, you're like from like the suburbs. So you don't even know what that means. You saw it in like some fucking YouTube video somebody sent you at work. So
I don't say
word, because it's number one, it's like 30 years out of date. And then bra, don't say, because you're not fucking Hawaii.
Nothing without words express approval, apparently.
I don't know what to do now that I'm out in the...
You don't actually say that out, dude. They don't use that in Utah, do they?
Oh, dude, bro. Dude, it's a snowboarder country, man. What else do we don't know how to communicate unless we're talking in terms of, such as those.
There's acceptable... There's man. Hey, man. There's dude. That's acceptable.
El Deuterino, if you're not in the whole brevity thing.
But
would you be opposed to terms like gnar? Like gnarly?
Well, gnarly's already pretty short. Why would you need to further shorten it to gnar?
Because gnar actually becomes a noun when you're talking about
noun.
Shredding the gnar.
Person, place, or thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a nebulous thing. Shred the gnar. It's like a powder. You're getting the powder day. Shred the gnar.
You know what I realized? So it's a surfer speak, right? It's a pseudo-surfer speak?
Yeah.
Okay, Andy, you can say it because you actually snowboard or you surf or you ride a fucking piece of wood, whatever the hell it is.
All right.
So that's okay. But if you're some fucking guy here in California who doesn't ski or doesn't snowboard, doesn't surf, doesn't do anything involving riding on a piece of wood, or you can't say it. Because they're just saying it because they want to, like, hey, I'm cool like a surfer guy, right?
So I
suppose that's okay, because that's in your small group of actual surfer snowboarders, that's the verbiage you guys use.
Yeah, we don't really know how to communicate otherwise.
But you can see my problem, though, right? So, like, Nathan,
yeah,
he doesn't normally use it, but he's from Pennsylvania. He rides a fold-up bike, and
but
he doesn't snowboard or surf.
But there's
or do any
wrong with my sport. Fold-up bike.
There's snowboards all over the wall.
I'm just saying, you don't do those things. So you don't say bra, which you don't. So that's cool. But I'm just saying, if you did say bra, that would not be good. Skiing is not the same as surfing.
Whoa.
They hate each other.
I don't know.
So this whole rant has been because I don't say something that if I did say it would be unacceptable. And I
but
said
you
it
did
once.
Say it once.
As an example of how
it was. Right. So it's not, I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying, but if an example would be. Like, I don't say it because I don't fucking surf or snowboard.
You know who else don't surf?
Live in that, like, surfing culture.
Charlie doesn't surf.
Right?
Did not.
Because it's like, okay, you're on the waves doing that whatever thing, but that's cool. That's what you do. But if I did it, I'd be a total fucking poser. Don't you think?
You'd be a Yahoo.
Hey, bro. Yeah, man, yeah. That's the most gnar motherboard ever.
Actually, that's acceptable.
Yes, I've never seen a benchmark that gnarly. Right? Like, god damn.
Oh, man. That's
what you get, man.
That's the, like, shit I would be saying all the time if I was in your office.
But no, you would be saying, you know, so I would be like, that's so gnar, man. I was just catching some toasty benchmarks. And then, and then,
like,
you would go, here's what you would say. You would say, those are our words. That's our language.
Got to take it back.
You're
man.
Not allowed to use it. Number one, we don't know how to properly use them. We don't know how to use the vernacular that you guys use. It's technical jargon. I mean, it's a technical term, gnar, right?
Yeah.
That's not just made up.
That's not like plenary flow or something. That's technical. That's technical language.
You're talking about laminar flow, I think.
I forget what we said.
You said plenary.
I thought laminar flow was a real thing.
It is. Gordon didn't think it was a real thing because he didn't understand what laminar meant.
No. My objection to it, obviously someone who didn't get the point, is that you shouldn't just drop that in a normal conversation with someone.
It was legitimate.
No. What it is like, hey, I know this word. I'm going to use it because I'm all fancy. And I'm going to, you know.
It happens to be the most accurate term for the type of airflow that shitty moldy Dyson air blower uses. It's laminar flow. Also, plenary flow doesn't
because make sense, it's just,
plenary means fully attended or complete.
Just because it's technically right doesn't make it proper. You shouldn't be using it. You like when you go to a party, you start telling them like, "Dude, I just was testing a SATA 6 drive, and you know I was having problems with AACI drivers." And no, you would never do that, right?
I don't go to parties.
Well, of course not, because you start talking about NAR. Man, that's the most NAR SATA 6 drive I've ever seen. Dude.
Actually, the last party I was at, I did talk about SATA drives, but that's because somebody asked.
That's okay, though.
But okay, Gordon, here's an analogy for you. What if somebody said, "Hey, man, could you check out my CPU? There's something wrong with my CPU." They didn't mean CPU. They meant their entire computer, but they called it a CPU. You get upset, right? Because it's not a CPU. It's a fucking computer.
No, you go, they don't know the technical language. I'm not going to correct them and say, "Oh, by the way, the CPU is actually the central processing unit inside of your computer, not the entire fucking tower that you're talking about."
Then they'll never learn, Gordon.
Why? They don't need to. You know what you come across as some asshole.
I'm some asshole they're asking to fix their computer. I'm allowed to try to teach them while I do it, since they're not paying me.
If they actually asked you to fix their CPU and then you corrected them, they would go, "Dude, I'm taking this somewhere else."
And I would go, "Thank you. My God, I'm not your personal tech support." Unless it's my mother, in which case I would do it without complaining.
Love you, Mom.
Because I love my mother. Exactly.
I don't believe that. I believe you. So, Mom, I'm not going to fix this computer until you can say CPU correctly.
I actually tried something like, you know, I was mocking her for her lack of, I was younger, and I was mocking her for lack of knowledge about computers. And she said, "You know, I was programming mainframes 25 years ago. You know what happened?" I was like, "No, Mom, what happened?" She's like, "I had you and my life stopped." I was like, "Oh, sorry."
And it's all your fucking fault.
It's my fault. Basically, sorry, Mom. Anyway,
on that note,
depressing. And
no, it's not depressing. She's proud of me now. Everyone's parents put their lives on hold a little bit for their children. It's just how it goes.
And then their parents turn into little fucking assholes who won't work on their fucking computers without correcting them. I saw an interview with Rod Steiger. He was talking about doing On the Waterfront with Brando, and so the interviewer said, "Well, how was Brando?" And they're like, "Well," and Steiger actually was very honest. He says, "You know, Marlon Brando was kind of an asshole, because what would happen is, when they shoot scenes, so they'll do a tight shot of whatever actor doing it, and then, you know, they're reading off their lines, and then so when Brando was doing his lines, Steiger would stay there and he would read his lines instead of just having, you know, some PA or something read off lines, right?"
Yeah.
So Steiger's in there doing the scene with Brando, right? And then when it's time to do Steiger's close up, Brando just goes to his trailer. Right? He just leaves. So instead of having that same emotional impact of having to act out this scene with Brando, he's just got somebody reading this from the script, right?
Yep.
Now I bring this up because we get to the very end. So we're doing this podcast. We get to the end of the podcast, right?
Yeah.
And so Nathan just fucking gets up and leaves.
So
he does the intro. Right, he just left. He's gone. He goes into the lab.
He's going to the trailer.
He did say something.
I'm going to the trailer.
He's going to the trailer. But like, I'm doing the podcast, right? So I can't do this in a vacuum. Right?
Right.
This is not, I can't do it with the laugh track. You got to do it with the live audience. Otherwise, it's no fun. So I'm here when Nathan does his part of the podcast, right? When he's going off in the fucking weeds on some tangent I don't understand, or telling us what Steinberg means, right?
But no.
I get to the end of the podcast. I do the podcast, end the show. He just fucking gets up and goes, right? So he just did a Marlon Brando to me.
What a diva.
I know. It's like, "Hey, that's it. I'm out of here." Dude, well, it's my turn now. I got to do my part. Well, hey, just figure it out. Just, you know, I'm gone.
Well, he doesn't even have a PA. We need to get some sort of like replacement Nathan in here to at least read his lines. You know,
to do the laughs or whatever. I'm just saying, it's just kind of like, dude, I need the feedback. But no, he gets up, he leaves. He's afraid I'm going to insult him or something, which I am now, because he just fucking brandoed us and walked out of the room. Well, I've already complained about the iPhone thing, right? Or whatever, the Windows 7 thing. So I can't complain about that. Okay. Except I will tell you. You will know that the iPhone people are going to go, no copy and paste? They're going to bitch about that, even though they couldn't do it for like 3 fucking years.
Well, it's revenge. It's revenge for all the flack they took from the Windows people.
But that's not the proper response. They had to go, yeah, that's fucked up. We're just as pissed off at you as when we were pissed off at Apple. Right? But no, they'll go, oh, how could you not have that feature? The only thing I've complained about, I went to lunch with Natalie. And no, Natalie was asking me about a mountain. We were considering running like a picture of a mountain on the cover. Mm-hmm. And she's showing me this mountain. And it just made me think, because it was somebody at the peak of this mountain. And it made me realize.
What mountain was it?
Well, she said it was a well-known mountain that everybody knew about. So I was like, oh, Everest? K2? Whatever. You know, the ones that people like risk life and limb to climb?
The seven summits, you know?
It was actually the Matterhorn at Disneyland because the guy's wearing shorts. So it's like, okay, it's like 15,000 feet on Everest. People are not like wearing shorts on Everest, right? But here's my problem. I realize, who fucking cares if you climbed Everest?
Hey, oh, whoa.
Well, no, what do you think about this now?
Hold on.
You climbed, let me finish.
Okay.
You climbed Everest. How exciting is that when the fucking Sherpa does it twice a week? Okay? That's 3 years. Is it really a big deal? That's their job, so, you know.
Well, I think Sherpas are like genetically, you know, built for climbing up mountains, right?
Well,
that sounds patently wrong.
They've acclimatized themselves by, you know, subsisting at the high elevations.
Right.
And so they're strong at high elevations.
Because they obviously moved here from, say, Saturn.
No, they've just...
They work as Sherpas on our planet.
Well, their villages are
just
super high. They're
just people, and they fucking climb it every week. You're like up there, you're like on your all O2.
Yeah.
You make it to the top. You're like, yeah, top of the world. And the Sherpa's like looking at his watch. Uh-huh, come on. I got to carry all your shit down. Come on. Give me your stuff. I'm sorry, but it's just like, you know, if you can climb all that way up by yourself carrying all that shit without the Sherpa, maybe that's different.
I don't know if that's how it works, like, dude. I think
I'm just saying the Sherpa's there. He's like on his fucking iPhone. Like just playing some game. Right? Yeah, yeah, that's really... You want to take a picture for you? Right? You get up to the top of Everest, and there's a fucking Sherpa there with the digital camera. Like, when you go into, like, Disneyland, and they take your picture, you leave, he's still standing there. So when you get back to the tent, we'll have the picture. There's a package. You can get the, you know, the 4x6s, 8x10, and little keychain thing of you on Everest.
It's a little roller coaster camera. That's how they feed their families, man.
But he's on Everest. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't get it. Is it because it's like, are you celebrating? Because I think people who make it to the top of Everest are like, I made it to the top of Everest. Look, I'm this, you know, human. I'm in peak performance. I made it to the top of Everest. I don't really believe it. That to me, that's not a big accomplishment. It would be a big accomplishment if it were like, holy shit, Gordon Ung got to the top of Everest. I mean, that guy's out of shape. He's a nerd. If that guy got to the fucking top of Everest, I'd be impressed. But like, who cares, right? I mean, it's not a big deal. These Sherpas are standing there the whole time. So, Andy, are you saying it's what?
I'm saying it's cool. Climbing Everest would be cool.
I suppose, except that the Sherpas are standing around there. Like, you need any help? You need a Coke or something? You know, I mean, just... Don't you think that's sort of like, it's not that big a deal if the Sherpas do it every week?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It's like... A little disappointing, I think.
I would say I think we're going to get a lot of hate mail about this, but I don't think the kind of people who climb Mount Everest listen to our podcast. So,
well, if we actually...
Probably in the clear here.
But I'm just saying, I'm just sort of... These Sherpas do it every, like, you know... You get down from the mountain, you're like, hey, whatever your Sherpa's name is, I left my hat up there. Can you go up there and get it? Oh, yeah, no problem. You know... It's just sort of like amazing. See, I would have liked to have heard what Nathan's opinion was, but no.
No, you don't get to. Nope.
No, I don't, because he's gone, right? He's like, okay, I'm out of here. Screw you guys. Mr. Big Star, Brando. Battlestar Galactica is in the same way as Lost, that the last two seasons have made no fucking sense, right?
Well,
I don't watch Lost, but I know it makes no sense. No, and it never has.
I don't know, dude. Lost is pretty critical.
Now, I'm saying this as someone who has never seen the show, so I'm obviously an authority on being able to comment on it.
Yes.
So I will tell you the ones I've seen and to hear the conversations, it obviously makes no fucking sense.
Well, it does seem that they're finally lining up the stars because they know where they're going now.
So obviously you watched Lost.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a believer. I think most of the people in this room watch Lost so they can hear me talking.
I'm a huge believer.
I'm going to break it to you now.
Okay.
Just stop watching.
No.
Stop watching because it's only going to end with you heartbroken.
Dude, this is the most important thing that's ever happened. It's like the last
episode of Seinfeld. What?
Lost is the last episode
of Seinfeld.
No.
It's like, there was like the worst episode of TV ever, the last episode of Seinfeld. And you sort of like...
It was like a clip show.
You wish it didn't exist. It's like Godfather 3, right? You wish you had never seen Godfather 3.
I haven't seen that, so I'm safe.
Good. Don't watch it because it'll ruin the whole fucking franchise. you will take memories of Godfather 1 and 2 to your grave.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But I, having seen Godfather 3, will always think, damn, why did he fuck it up, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like Star Wars. We wish the first three movies, well, 1, 2, and 3, of course, that came out after, never existed, right? Yeah. That ruined the whole damn thing for us. If you stop watching Lost now, you will not be heartbroken like us. Well, who watched the first three episodes of Star Wars and Godfather 3.
But what if it's totally awesome? What if it answers all of our questions?
No, what if it's
fulfilled and better people?
What if we just watch everything but the very last episode?
That's, you can do that. That's fine. Because actually, in fact, it'll be better if you just wonder forever.
Yeah, probably.
Because I'm telling you, if you watch it, you'll be like, wasted all this time, right? All this time wasted.
There is that possibility. Grim possibility.
So I'm just telling you now, do not watch it. I mean, I could give you many, many examples of all the shows we've watched over the years ruining the whole damn thing, right? Seinfeld, Godfather 3, last two seasons of Battlestar Galactica, which I just fucking bought anyway, just to have. Yeah. The last Indiana... No, that's another one. Indiana Jones 4.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. See, do you want to be in that position? That feeling you had when you left the theater... My wife and I took the day off and dressed up in costumes to fucking go see Indiana Jones 4.
No way.
I'm fucking serious.
Oh my god.
You know how fucking crushed we were after that?
We cried.
If I had seen Harrison Ford outside the theater, I would have punched him right in the face. Right? Or when the credits are rolling on the last episode of Lost, believe me, you don't want to be there. Don't watch it.
I think you're right.
It was the second Matrix movie. That was the one where I went to the theater and I was so excited. And then when I left, it was like, why would they have done that? You know.
But you know what? But the thing about that is that was the second one.
At least by the third one, my expectations were
low.
They were lower,
but you still. And of course, with the Matrix, it went like, oh, Matrix 1. Holy, I can't believe it. That was brilliant. And the Matrix 2 was like, well, that's okay. That's just the one in the middle, right? That's just the one in the middle. The third one's where they're saving it for. And of course, the third one, you're like, what the fuck? Right? You're just like, you just wish you'd never watched the second and third one. So I'm saying, just stop watching Lost now. And you will never have that feeling. If you wait, you will have the Matrix 2 and 3, Godfather 3, Indiana Jones 4, Seinfeld, Star Wars 1, 2, and 3 feeling, which is, it's like the worst, you could bottle that up and like, it would be just the worst thing ever.
It's like the longest name for a feeling ever, too.
It would be. It would be the, what would the name be? It would be like, I don't know. It would be
like. What you just said, everything, all the names.
What the fuck? Yeah. What the fuck? It would just, that would be it. It would be a bottle of what the fuck, okay? It would just be like, what the fuck? That just is a so concentrated disappointment. All your dreams shattered and smashed. And you just be, you want to cry. You want to get down on the fucking ground and cry and just bawl your brains out, right?
It's like when you learn.
That's what it's going to be like.
It's like when you learn about the Sherpas and they fucking do it every day.
Right. And you're like, dude, I climbed Everest. And you're like, what the fuck? What's this guy doing up here with the camera? I don't want a t-shirt. Oh, actually, that t-shirt's kind of nice, but I'm running out of oxygen. I got to get off the mountain. Okay, no problem. There's a concession stand down on the mountain. Okay, I'll... But that, you know, that fucking bottle of what... You're going to get that. Don't watch any more Lost. But she had her phone or smartphone and was able to post on her Facebook page that she had been kidnapped. Yes. And then her friends called police. She was then rescued. I think it wasn't like, you know, stranger abduction. I think it may have been family abduction. Maybe, you know, father kidnapped daughter or something like that. I just don't understand why if you have a phone in your hand that you can dial on, you could dial 911, right? If you look on the back of every fire engine and police car, it's there. That's not the model number of the car, okay? That's the number you dial. It's 911. You call 911. You don't put it on your fucking Facebook page. I mean, don't you think? I mean, of course the media loves to have these, the mainstream media loves to have these stories about like, oh, look, person's life saved by Facebook or Twitter because they put this on their Twitter or Facebook thing and their friends called police. But are we going to hear about the time where like I got kidnapped and I put it on my Twitter feed, but nobody did shit. Okay. And it was like 2 weeks, right? Nobody did anything. Oh, did you call the cops? I saw that on his Twitter feed. But, oh, I thought you called the cops. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, maybe you've got it all wrong. Maybe she didn't want to be rescued. Maybe it was just a status update. You know, maybe it was that, like...
Right, I have been kidnapped, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, you know, had some waffles this morning, got kidnapped. Oh, I saw a new VW. I mean, you know, maybe
VW,
just,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's a plausible explanation. Knowing how people are today, that's actually a plausible explanation.
Well, it could have been some sort of like really intense situation where he's like, you know, don't you dare call anybody, and you know, she just sneakily hit up Twitter and
No, you're right. Maybe she says, okay, don't you dare call anybody. Okay, I'm not calling them, but you didn't say don't Facebook anybody.
Exactly.
Loophole. Okay, I'm going to kill you for calling. Oh, you didn't call them? Oh, you're right. You are following my rules. I can't kill you for that. You could Facebook it. If you call 911, you're right. You got me there. You got me. No.
Well, what I'm saying is it sounds like she did it as a secret, right? Like, I mean, she wasn't like, hey, Dad, you know, I just Facebooked that you're kidnapping me. She probably secretly Facebooked it, and then, you know, they called the cops.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe he's like, okay, I've kidnapped you. But by the way, give me your phone, but you can use your laptop with Wi-Fi here.
No, I mean, are you sure she didn't use her phone to... Didn't you say she had a smartphone? Did she not use her phone to post it on Facebook?
That's what I'm going to guess. I mean, it was a radio report, so that's already... That's a Wire story that's been trimmed down and then crushed down even more, so...
Yeah, I don't think you'd be like, give me your phone, but feel free to use your laptop.
I don't know. It's possible, because it may also be that he didn't say, well, I didn't tell you you couldn't use Facebook. So maybe she was just saying, oh, I'm just playing Bejeweled. I don't know.
I think we might be attributing too much forethought on the part of the kidnapper here, the crazed kidnapper. I think... You know, I think if you were really thinking things through, you probably would have taken all of her internet-enabled devices in the first place.
Or, I mean, it could depend. I mean, what if it could have been a really old guy, you know? He may not even have concept of...
Oh, damn, that's a burn. He had no idea.
No, I'm just saying, he might not even have any concept of, you know, internet on a phone. He just... I don't know. I mean, it sounds more like an emergency thing than...
I would think even most old people would know if you're given your kidnapped victim a phone, they're going to be able to help. Unless you're saying they're so old, that's okay. I've cut the line on the phone in the room. They can't get out. Now, you guys live in the city? You have iPhones?
Yes.
Yes.
You see that people are getting robbed? People are getting robbed for their iPhones in San Francisco?
Really?
I've actually seen a person. I have witnessed a iPhone robbery. I saw a girl on...
You guys live in Dangerous City.
On the subway, I saw a girl sitting there texting on her iPhone, and some guy, right after the train pulled into a stop, some guy got up, and right as the doors were starting to close, he sprinted down the aisle, yanked her phone out of her hands, and ran through the doors right as they closed.
Oh.
And then the train went off.
What class?
Damn, yeah, dude.
That's pretty classy. Well, it's gone to the new level, because there have been several robberies where they're actually like, you know, that you're on your phone texting, you're some yuppie walking through whatever, and then like two guys with hoodies on will pull a piece on you and say, give me your iPhone. So I mean, and it's not even like, hey, give me your wallet too, just give me your iPhone. What the hell?
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's specific to iPhones though. In any major city,
I think it is.
What can you do with an iPhone though?
Well, I mean, it,
You can't
get kidnapped. You can use it to get help. But
well, yeah.
I think it's only iPhones, because I'll tell you, I'm a Windows mobile user. I've never heard anybody say.
Well, yeah, you would get.
Somebody
would get,
got jacked for their Windows mobile phone. I think, I swear to God, if I was walking down the street and I was texting, my phone looks similar to an iPhone. If some guy pulled a gun on me and said, give me your phone, and I hand it to him, and we'd go, what the fuck is this? It's a Windows mobile phone. They'd be what the? I thought this was an iPhone. They'd get pissed off. They'd be like, take this shit back.
Oh, man.
And I would be, no, it's okay. It's insured. Just go. It's like, no, it's Windows Mobile. I thought I was stealing an iPhone.
He'd shoot you in the leg just to, he's pissed off.
He's so pissed off.
Well, because I'd be running after him. Don't take the phone. Take the phone. They'd be like, get away from me. Yeah, they'd probably put around on me just to keep me from stopping giving the phone. I just kind of, you got to figure, like, you know, if you're some robber, it's going to be like, Windows mobile phone? What the hell is that, like a Palm Trio or something? So this is not my issue, but somebody told me about it. Natalie told me about this. So she's over at the deli. She's getting her salad. And her salad's sitting on the scale. She's putting her money away. This really pushy broad behind her, right? Just can't wait. She takes Natalie's salad, picks it up off the scale, and then puts it, you know, on the whatever the thing, the counter thing that you put next to the all you put your trays on, and then she puts her salad on the tray on the scale. What, don't you think that's wrong? I mean, you don't touch other people's food.
Definitely. Well, rude.
Did she like put her hands in the salad and then put the leaves on the counter, or did she lift it up by the container?
No, she lifted it up by the container. It wasn't like she was licking the salad or anything, but she picked it up and moved it.
So she didn't so much touch her food as she did moved her food, right?
Well, it doesn't matter. That's your food. You don't know where her hands were just 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, but her hands were on plastic encasing the food. She didn't put her hands on the food.
Then you touch the plastic, and then you rub your eyes. That's it. That's how you get, you know, H1N1, hantavirus, the zombie thing spreads. I think it's wrong. If you ask me, I mean, Natalie didn't say anything, but I think she did say she moved extra slow. But I would like, you need to step back. That's my salad.
I totally agree. It was wrong and very rude. But I mean, it would have been way wronger if she actually just, like you said, just put her face in the salad or something, or touched it some way. I mean, that'd be horrible. Well,
that would really be a whole other level of.
That would be a whole other level. But I just think it's so rude. You just can't.
You don't just move somebody's food.
It's like when you check out, right? You put all your food on the conveyor belt. And then, I'm considering. Now, if there's an extra one of those divider things, I will put it behind my food.
Or as you
whatever
should.
I'm buying at the grocery store, right?
It avoids general confusion at the register.
It avoids confusion. Now, what I really don't like is when the people that are so fucking lazy, they just can't pick up the thing and put it behind their stuff.
Yeah, those are the same people reading US Weekly at the
right. You know, they're just
front there.
Yeah, they're too busy looking at the damn, you know, junk mags on those. Too bad Max and PC wasn't on the junk racks there. But
now,
you know, your responsibility is to put the divider after your food.
Have you ever had this happen to you, though? Have you ever not used a little divider because, you know, maybe it's like you and one other person, and you've each got like two things, and you put yours at the front of the conveyor belt, and he puts his at the end of the conveyor belt, and then the cash register just holds down that little conveyor belt thing and brings all four of them up together, and you're like, you know, clearly there was a good 6 second pause between when those first two items hit and the last two. But no, they're really looking for that divider no matter what.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I'm not buying a salad with my Jack and Coke. This is completely separate. Well,
that's contextual.
That does seem...
That's never actually happened to me, though.
Has that actually happened to you, Alex?
Oh, yeah, that's happened to me several times.
Is that because you shop for groceries in San Francisco? Because I'll tell you, retail experience in San Francisco is terrible, generally. I'm wondering if that's why.
It could be the San Francisco retail curse.
They usually don't appear to be paying any sort of attention to anything. Just kind of sliding the food items along.
Come to Salt Lake. Right, we're all nice people. We don't touch the food.
Yeah, Andy, you know what? I think you better be careful when you're taking the bus with your iPhone next time. Because now you're like, that would never happen here.
No, I don't take the bus. It's creepy.
Oh. Well, you could run into Epic Angry Man. Or Epic what's his name? Epic Beard Man?
Beard Man. Is that the guy who laid the smackdown on that other guy on the bus?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was pretty epic. Do any of you guys recall what his shirt said? It was really funny, but he had something really funny on his shirt, like "I will kick your ass" or something like that.
It was.
I think.
What did it say?
You can buy the shirt now. I think it said "I."
I think it said "I am a motherfucker," right?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that's...
and Tom Swift, and you can buy that shirt, by the way, for $9.95.
Dude, you really gonna start shit with a guy wearing a shirt that says "I am a motherfucker"? What are you thinking, man?
I guess he'd be okay with his iPad on the bus. So when you read our reviews in Maximum PC, you will see what we call our, you know, the verdict box, blah, blah, blah. And you got the pluses and the minuses. We're tasked with just coming up with these pluses and minuses. Now, for one of the reviews, I picked the plus is lost in space. The minus is lost. And apparently, I ruffled some feathers here because people thought it was very controversial. But I mean, because we have a lot of Lost fans here. I've only watched the show a couple times. But they thought that was wrong, and you know, I don't know, Alan, if you heard this, but Andy, you definitely have not heard this.
No.
My argument for why Lost in Space will always be infinitely better than Lost is you can remember so many lines from Lost in Space, and I challenge the room full of Lost people to come up with one fucking quote from Lost, the TV show, and nobody could come up with anything. And nobody still has come up with anything from Lost. I've come up with like five from Lost in Space.
Well, I think a big reason the controversy may have started is because a lot of younger people associate Lost in Space with that awful remake that came out in like 99. Did you see that with like Sigourney Weaver and that guy from Friends? It was horrible.
Oh yeah, it had Joey.
It had Joey.
Oh, that was bad.
That was really, I mean...
I don't think that's it. I think it's just because people... I mean, but I'm serious. If Lost is such a... Now, here's my challenge. If Lost is such a good show, quote one fucking line from it. One memorable fucking line from Lost.
I know one. I know one. Season two finale. I think I may have crashed your plane. There it is.
You are not going to... And if you said that in 30 years, people would think, what the fuck is wrong with you, Andy? But no, watch this. Now, check this out.
Okay.
Oh, William. Okay? Or danger, right? What am I talking about there, Andy?
Yeah, you're right. I know immediately.
Immediately, right? You know, it's like people have not even seen the show and they know what I'm talking about. But I have a robot here that does it.
Okay, but I remember way more lines from, like, I don't know, Austin Powers than I do from, the last legitimately good movie I watched. I don't even remember.
Well, Austin Powers is probably better than the last legitimate what?
Oh.
What's the last legitimately good movie you watched? Is that good? See?
Oh, I just finally got around to watching No Country for Old Men a couple weeks ago.
You haven't seen that until just now?
I had not seen that until just now.
That is a legitimate movie. I fully agree.
Right.
It's a great movie.
But what are the lines from that movie, huh?
There weren't any. But see, now, what was the movie you were talking about?
No Country.
No, okay. No, good.
Austin Powers.
Austin Powers. Like, if I say, yeah, baby, everybody knows, right? Everybody knows that. You could go to fucking India... And like some little republic where they don't even have T TV, radio, or internet, and they would know what the hell that meant.
So, and you're saying that means that Austin Powers is a better movie than No Country for Old Men?
I'm saying it'll be remembered. I mean, there's something to be said for people remembering your work 30 years or 50 years after it's been gone. Right?
That's kind of a good point. I mean, Austin Powers.
I'm going to bring this up again. Of course, it always pisses off the Shakespeare people. What was Shakespeare but mass media, right? But people can quote Shakespeare all day.
Yeah.
So I'm saying.
So what was the lost quote, of Shakespeare's time?
We don't remember. It's gone. It's gone. That's why I'm saying lost. Maybe lost is not in the same class as Shakespeare.
And Lost in Space.
Austin Powers.
Wait, are you saying that Austin Powers and Lost in Space are in the same tier as Shakespeare?
Are in the same tier as Shakespeare.
I 100% agree with you.
I mean, how long is Shakespeare? 300? 400? I forget. When was he alive? I mean, that's pretty damn good.
I'll even go as far to say as I was more entertained by Austin Powers than I was by any of Shakespeare's
stories. I'm not sure you can't quote Shakespeare. I could quote you a line from Shakespeare if I knew any, and you would know what it was. Right? But I could not quote anything from Lost. And Alex, it doesn't have to be, you know, so-called, you know, fluff movies. I mean, what was that one from what the hell, the I drink your milkshake up line? That's on T-shirts.
there will be blood. That's true. That was quotable.
Right. That was a critically accepted movie, and yet people had that slogan on their T-shirts. So,
what slogan was this?
Drink it up.
Right, see?
Now I really want to see this movie.
You've never seen it? Oh, man.
But I'm telling really you, let down besides by that, besides the line that Andy said, I crash your airplane.
Yeah. Which
I'm not sure I'd... I mean, there's probably four of the movies that had that same line, but I'm just trying to think of... There must be something else.
Harrison Ford said something similar to that in Air Force One.
See? So, I mean, Lost fans, where's the quotable material?
Call JJ.
Look at this. Watch this. I've made a few special modifications.
I don't know either.
Star Wars Han Solo?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not I drink your milkshake.
So, we have a station here that the copy editor uses, and she wanted to set up a second monitor. And of course, well, she's not here. Unfortunately, Natalie is not here, or is art director, who is a Mac person. And I said, well, setting up a second monitor is very easy. And I went over there, got a second monitor, got a DVI cable out, and I went down to plug it into the Mac. Now, the other monitor was plugged into the first DVI cable port, of course. So then I said, oh, no problem. I'll use the other DVI port. But on the Mac, because of the fuckheads that Apple are, they don't use DVI as standard. They use this weird-ass round DVI port that also carries power and USB. So you cannot just plug a normal monitor into the Mac without getting some special adapter. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, it's nuts. What?
I tangentially follow all the madness they've been doing with display adapters for a few years, but it's almost too hard to follow.
You simply can't walk into Mordor.
But, yeah, you just can't walk in there.
You can't just walk into Mordor.
No, there's the geniuses at the bar in Mordor. What else is there? You got your iPad fanboys. No, it just kills me. I mean, the most basic thing, right? Most fucking it's like going in to plug some USB cable into the Mac and then finding like one of the ports is like some weird shaped thing that doesn't take USB cables. It's like a special USB cable only Apple has or something. It doesn't piss anybody off. I guess we've all come to get used to that.
I just haven't run into the problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't run into it.
Seriously, you go look under one of those Mac, whatever, pros. Look at the video card. Like, one will be, okay, DVI, and the other one will be this weird-ass round thing, you know? Do they give you the adapter for that in the box? They probably don't.
That's a good question.
It's probably a $60 sell the fucking thing. Yeah.
For, like, $50.
Yeah, it's annoying. I've run into it a few times. And you
run into that with Apple on everything.
You use an Apple keyboard,
and the fucking, like, everything would be normal. The Z would be like where the one is for some reason. Just to fuck with you.
You know, the whole display interface thing is something that even the Mac Life people will gripe about. It's, you know, it doesn't make any sense. They've changed it so many times in the last 3 or 4 years, too. That's the other thing. They come up with something that's sort of proprietary, then they don't stick with it.
It's sort of like Palm's Universal. You remember Palm's Universal Palm? So they had the original Palm interface. And then they came out with, we've got too many of these damn things. We're going to have the Universal one. And then, of course, within a year, it's like, hey, this is a new interface. It's not compatible with the Universal one. Well, then the other one isn't Universal, is it? I mean...
You know, to be fair, Gordon, remember when Microsoft Plays for Sure, when they abandoned that for Zune?
Yeah.
And nothing played for sure anymore?
Yeah. Except that's Microsoft, right? I mean, people, like... You just expect that.
You don't expect that from Apple?
Well, no, but
it's a little naive.
I do, but like, go talk to a Mac user. That's the way it's supposed to be.
You lost me at DVI.
I've finally given up on Firefox.
Ooh, this is interesting.
Because I think everybody's used Firefox. I've probably used Firefox for probably, 3 years now? 4 years? I don't know how long it's been out. But I just got sick of these updates. There's like always some security update. It's like every 2 days. It's like I downloaded like 3.6, and then there's 3.61, then 3.62, and then 3.63. It's like Adobe Flash, right? Or Acrobat. You have to upload. Every time you start it, there's a new update to be installed.
Well, I think one of the reasons is every time you install the update, you get hit with some kind of splash screen saying, did you know these features are available? Like, I don't know what they are, Firefox desktops or something.
Personas, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's good they're patching the security problems, but I'm just sick of it. I'm just sick of it. I've actually switched over to Chrome, which I'm getting pretty used to, and I've actually pretty much weaned myself off of Firefox and all my machines.
You know, it's funny, Gordon, because completely independently of you, I've done the exact damn thing.
Yeah, because it's just Firefox is just slow, right? I mean, actually, in using Chrome now, Chrome is actually pretty fast. I like the
tabs are, you know, separate instances, although I have managed to crash my entire Chrome several times. But once Chrome got extensions, that was it for me. Like, once I could add mouse gestures and shit, that's all I needed.
The only thing I don't like about Chrome is it's just ugly and there's no way to really change the interface.
It looks kind of cute in Arrow, though. Like, the blue becomes transparent, which is nice.
No, but, I mean, you can't change the size of the buttons or anything. I don't like that minimalized, you know, interface, but
yeah,
I mean, it's just sad. It's just, how could Firefox become what it is today, you know? So people don't know, right? So readers don't understand. So we have this conference room that must be 12 feet by 7 feet wide, and there's a table, conference room table in there that's like 10 feet by, you know, 5 feet wide. You can barely squeeze around this thing. And then every time you go around it, you always smack yourself into the corners. And then there's this fucking vent in there or some kind of support structure in the building. So you have to, it's like an obstacle course just to get into a chair. And it's like the theater too, because it's like if you're seated somewhere in the middle and somebody has to, like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. Everybody has to get up for that person to get out. Right?
It's so bad. I mean, I won't even sit in the middle chairs, not because I mind getting up for other people, movie theater style, but I won't sit in the middle chairs because I knock my knees on that center support every fucking time.
So here's my secret, and I'm just going to let you know. That's why I'm always late, right? Because everybody here used to bitch, oh, why is Gordon always late to the meeting? Because I don't want to sit in the fucking middle. Because the end is the one that's always usually left open. If you go in there early, you get stuck somewhere in the middle. So if you go late, you're always guaranteed to be on one of the ends.
That's true. But the ends, I mean, the ends are sort of bad too. If you get pushed over just a little bit, your chest is going to go into the pointy, you know, the pointy corner, which is, you know, filed off to a razor sharp edge.
And there's about four or five inches of clear edge, clear ends between the corner and that weird, like, duct on the side of the conference table.
Isn't it weird how sharp the edges of those corners are?
We probably paid extra for it. You want us to round off the edges in the building? No. Is that free?
Whenever I like check out that table, I think this table should be in a Bourne movie, and like some fight scene ends with Jason Bourne, you know, like impaling some guy or like jamming his head into the edge of our conference room table.
And I know I'm probably going to piss off a lot of people here, but and of course I don't know anything about this, but this conversation came up today. So I did not know, and I always thought, personally, as an outside observer, that the punk scene was like, these guys are just serious fucking rebels, right? Damn, these guys are just, they are like, you know, they're really rebels, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it turns out, the Sex Pistols?
Mm-hmm.
They had focus groups, and they're worried about their branding. And it's like,
well, sort of.
Well, I mean, I'm just sorry, but how much of a like rebel punk are you if you're in there with a fucking focus group looking at?
Weren't they put together by Malcolm McLaren, sort of like ground up to be a punk group?
Well, sort of. They were basically he hired them to be a group that wore the clothing from his boutique.
Sid
Vicious was still punk. That,
that's Backstreet Boys. Okay, they're not even real. It's a fake boy band.
Well, Sid Vicious, in his defense, was still, you know, punk as fuck in that he was horribly fucked up and did a lot of drugs and may or may not have killed his girlfriend.
How do you even know any of this? About this. These guys are just the same as, like, 1940s, 1950s studio stars.
Well, that's
it's
not...
It's all managed, right? Like, for all you know, the guy, like, finished whatever taping his punk album, and then he put on a suit and got in the back of his Rolls Royce and drove to his estate, the English farm side or something.
You're thinking of Green Day. I mean, the Sex Pistols may have been manufactured to sell clothing, but they were at least more punk than the band.
How punk can you be? That's like, this is the best fucking punk band that fucking Abercrombie and Fitch ever had.
I just want to, I think you're right about the Sex Pistols. I didn't know about the focus group thing. I knew
they don't have a focus group. Gordon was.
How do we know? I'm just saying they were formed. It's like something. How much of a punk band can you be if you're being paid by fucking Abercrombie and Fitch? All right.
But hey, Nathan, it is true that two of those Sex Pistols weren't they just like studio guys? So like Johnny Rotten and Sid Vicious were the punks. And then the other two guys were like the boring guys who just, you know, played instruments.
I didn't know. I never listened to the Sex Pistols. When I was into punk, I thought that they were, you know, the guys that ruined punk forever.
Yeah, they're not. It's not good music.
It's not even good punk music, which was about having good.
Exactly. So, like Gordon, the Clash, they were real punks, right? You know, and that's a really that's a real band. The Sex Pistols just didn't make good songs. They didn't write good songs. The Clash was a real punk band.
The Clash did make some good music.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of wondering if the entire movement was just fake, you know?
Don't you think all music movements are a little bit fake?
Well, I was disappointed. I always thought like, you know, to be in a punk band was like serious rebel, but I mean, it's crazy, you know? It's like American Eagle brand punk or something, you know?
American Eagle outfit or like...
I'm just so disappointed.
Are they all still living? Like, so Malcolm McLaren, the manager, just died, right?
Sid Vicious died a long time ago. Yeah, Johnny Rotten is... Rotten's sort of mainstream now. He did something weird lately.
Yeah, he has a Pepsi contract, I think, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, I think it was something like that.
I'm just... you know, I don't know, man. It's just, how can you be a rebel and be so corporate?
Oh, he did butter commercials for British television in 2008.
Damn. Butter commercials?
Yeah. Oh, his Wikipedia page says, Lydon was widely mocked as a sellout for this move. speaking of which, that reminds me of an anecdote that I always thought illustrated punk. If you don't mind. It's quick. So this guy and this girl are... walking down the street, and the girl asks the guy to explain what punk is. And the guy keeps walking, and the next trash can he sees, he kicks it over, and he's like, that's punk. So about 3 minutes later, the girl sees a trash can and kicks it over, and she's like, is that punk? He's like, no, that's trendy.
Ah.
of course, as any, you know, late 90s, early 2000s punk high school kid was, you know, we were obsessed with authenticity and like being real punks and looking down on the kids who got their punk attire from Hot Topic because, you know, we ripped ours ourselves, you know, or whatever. And like, you know, it's always about, you know, who's a sellout, who's a poser, you know, and completely ridiculous scenesterism that is, yeah.
Well, and of course, apparently all of it was just fake, right?
No, I think the Stooges and the MC5 were real. Everything those after that pre-punk. Was...
That's
what we consider pre-punk now. They basically started it, and then as soon as it became, you know, Sex Pistols, then it was all over.
Right.
We eat, I forget, some Anderson Bakery. I don't know, it's a chain, probably everywhere in the world. And, you know, you just pay for your sandwich. We go to sit down, they bring you a sandwich. It's not like they're really serving you, though. They don't come take your order or whatever. So my wife is like, oh, hey, I need a couple dollars to put in the tip jar. Right? I'm like, well, why? You know, they're not. She's like, there's a tip jar. I'm like, well, just because there's a tip jar does not mean you have to tip, right? And I bring this up because at work, I did this and I put a tip jar in my inbox and nobody's tipped me. Somebody stole the, I put the thing that says tips on there in the inbox. Nobody put any tips in it. And then somebody just threw the cup away that said tips on it. So.
Damn, dude.
So then the new thing is I put a new cup that says tips. And I'm doing the thing where I put money in there.
It's smart.
Right? So it's like, hey, there's tips. But what I want to know is, because I don't, why my wife is like, well, we got a tip. There's a tip jar. Well, why aren't people tipping me? And why, I mean, where are these rules for who gets tipped? And who doesn't get tipped? How do you even learn these things? They didn't teach it to you in school.
Well, I guess the etiquette in the U.S. is basically if they had to deal with you for an extended amount of time, I guess. Like, I always understood that waiters get tipped, cashiers don't get tipped. I always thought it was strange that the cooks didn't get tipped, but the waiters did, for example.
Well, but then when you go to, like, Starbucks... They have a tip jar there.
That's true, and I appreciated tips when I worked at Starbucks. But that's because the baristas also make the drinks. Or the cashiers also make the drinks. You know, they rotate in and out. And the tips are divided basically between everyone based on the hours they worked that week. That actually helped subsidize my Maximum PC internship.
Well, I don't understand why, because you go everywhere now and everybody has a tip jar, which is why I put my tip jar is because I'm cashing in on this too.
Well, I mean, I think the idea between some of these like places is if you don't have a tip jar, you won't get any extra money. You won't get any tips. But if you have a tip jar out, even if you're not, you know, performing a service that people normally tip, you know, some sucker is going to see the tip jar and think, oh, I'm supposed to leave a tip and put a couple bucks in. And hey, that's a couple bucks you wouldn't have had if you didn't have the tip jar.
Well, maybe
so under those rules of engagement, people should tip me now, right?
Are you rendering service with a smile? I mean, maybe
no, not should.
Doesn't matter because you think about it. The tip jar doesn't mean you get good service, and it definitely doesn't mean you get a smile. Because I've gone to some places where you know it's like, damn. I mean, it's like, what happened to customer service? I'm buying this from you, right? You should be happy. I'm buying this shit from you. Right. So, and they don't smile, but they have their tip jar. So, it definitely does not guarantee that they're smiling or that they're happy or that there's good service.
Then you shouldn't tip them.
Well, I want my tips. I've got my tip jar out now. I want to know what the rules are, and I want tips. I'm just like, well, if everybody else is going to tip everybody, I want some damn tips too.
Aren't the bagels tips?
Well, but that's not no, because it's not a tip. It's like when you go to a corner. And the guy's there with his sign, his cardboard sign. You give him food, that's cool, right? But if they also want money. There's definitely a difference between money and the bagels to us are like, you know, just sort of the extra food, whatever.
Well, fair enough.
But I'm just saying, I'm going to see what happens now. I've got my tip jar out, tip cup, and I want to see if I get more tips. The money in there is my money. In fact, I better count it to make sure somebody doesn't steal it. Or like, you know, because I wouldn't know if I put in 50 cents and there's 25 cents in there tomorrow, then.
Did you post that you had a tip jar on the internet message board?
Yeah, the internet mess support. Yeah, I'm keeping. That's where I keep a track of everything I need to complain about. Like, and here's a good one: the Cheesecake Factory. Right? You go. We went into the Cheesecake Factory at the mall to eat, and of course, it was like, it's like, oh, 45-minute wait. Well, we're going inside. We are going to eat at Anderson Bakery, where they want tips. And then later on, we'll get. Let's get the cheesecake on the way out. So we go in there to buy the cheesecake, and we bought 3 pieces of cheesecake. And it was like $25.
Cheesecake ain't cheap.
3 pieces of cheesecake.
That's expensive. No, but,
yeah, so where's the factory pricing, right? There's no factory here.
You should go to the Cheesecake Factory outlet.
I know, but it should be called the Cheesecake Retail or something, because Cheesecake Full Retail Outlet or something. When I see Cheesecake Factory, I want to see factory prices.
That's really right? Funny, Gord.
It's like, yeah, it's like, look, we're not talking about, hey, there's no distributors, there's no salespeople, there's none. All those middlemen are cut out. You're getting it directly from the factory. So why is it $8 for that slice of cheesecake? It should be like $2, even less. It should be less than Costco, because even Costco's a middleman. This is the Cheesecake Factory. If it's the factory cranking these things out like a factory, it should be damn cheap, right? Not $8 a slice. Do you think that's an unrealistic expectation?
No, I think you're absolutely right.
I just know when I see factory, that means factory prices. I didn't see factory prices. Okay. Among the other things the government should do, we're bailing everybody out. Let's not talk about the politics of that, whatever. But you know what I want to bail out? I want a government-created fund for fucking bankrupt companies that you have gift cards from. Because we went shopping at the mall, and my wife goes through the gift card stack that everybody now has, right? And there's one from Mervyn's. I mean, I don't know how much is even on it. It could have been like $100. But we are never going to get our money out of Mervyn's. Because they went bankrupt like 2 years ago. So they should just have like this government, you know, program, maybe a new agency, could even get a cabinet position where they, right? And so they just, you know, hell, it's pretty cheap. They can just put a couple $1 billion in it. We know we can spare it because we've got plenty of money to burn. And then people have these gift cards from bankrupt companies. They can, you know, apply to get aid, maybe, you know, 50 cents on the dollar. Doesn't have to be 100%, but why not do it?
Reminds me, gift cards are just a ferocious racket, aren't they?
Oh my God. Yeah. Have you seen gift cards lately where if you don't use them in a certain amount of time, your money just attrition?
I think that's actually illegal in most states. And I think it's illegal in California.
Wow. It's definitely not illegal here because it's happened all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think it's after a year, right? They start dinging you for like $1.50 a month or something.
Yeah. And it's like, how come that doesn't work with my credit card? Like, you know, it's the same thing.
Because they're scumbags.
Yeah.
Of course. It's like, hey, pay me your perfectly good money that you can use anywhere to get a card that you can spend the same amount of money at one place. They already have your money.
Oh, yeah.
And then whether or not you use it or not, you know, they've already made their profit. I realize that's about as...
But why are gift cards so cool?
Because you can be like, well, I didn't know what to get you, but I decided to artificially limit your choices by getting a $25 gift certificate to, Tea Cozies R Us. Do you want $25 worth of Tea Cozies? Maybe not. But, rather than giving you $25 you could spend anywhere, I'm going to make sure you buy something Tea Cozy related. You'll thank me someday.
But it's just funny that, I find like, well, if you get cash, the problem with cash is it just gets mixed into the general cash, right?
Yeah.
For lunch, you buy coffee with it, it's gone. Mm-hmm. Something about gift cards, at least you're like, oh, I've got this gift card. I'm saving them up to buy whatever from this one place. Of course, then the screwed up thing is you have gift cards in 2 different places that you really want to buy this one item and you combine all of your gift cards, but you can't because you're spread across like 3 different companies.
Gift cards, like money, but less useful.
Mm-hmm.
I should do PR for gift cards.
Yeah.
Maybe
not. A lot of good zingers there.
Yeah, thanks.
So then, of course, you know, we got kids. We're in the mall. We go to the coin, you know, the little ride area. They've got the little, you know, little mini carny ride. I put the kids in one ride. And it's like it's $1 to ride this damn thing. It's got a screen. The screen is on. Looks like it's working. And it's able to take the money, the dollar bill that I put in it, but it doesn't work. and there's nobody to complain to because there's no carny around there. But I just want no. They really should. I mean, shit. We have technology. We have the iPad, right? They have the iPad now. So that's basically the end of all technology, right? Why don't we have coin op technology that tells you when it's broken and that, you know, it just stops. It should be able to sense, hey, it's not working. Don't take any more money. But no, it keeps working. I mean, they could be broken for weeks and they probably make as much money off of that because every time someone puts a dollar in, they can't get it out.
Well, they have no incentive to fix it, Gordon. What's their incentive? If it's broken, they save on inventory and they still make money, well, and nobody knows who to complain to.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing with our society, because in the old West, you'd be able to take that ride and turn it over and light it on fire. But now you can't do anything except just complain.
Listen here, horsey ride. This parking lot is not big enough for the two of us.
Yeah, but don't you, I mean, you know, right, exactly, because it's not like it just broke. The damn thing's been broken for months. It's been taking some kids' dollars all day. Those kids ought to take that damn ride, flip it over, light it on fire. Maybe beat on it, break the windows out of it or something.
And you know what would happen?
All you needed to do...
They'd blame it on video games.
Yeah. True. You just needed to try again, like one more time.
You know, you got to be a special kind of dumb, but you know you do it sometimes, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, it's only $1. It's only 50 cents. Maybe it didn't take... No, it took my second 50 cents, too. That's $1. Should I try it again? Sometimes you are that kind of special dumb. Now, of course, the worst thing is your kid's like, I want to ride this ride. It's like, no, we can't do anything. We could turn it over and light it on fire,
which would be
take us out of the mall.
More fun than actually riding it, but see, that's how that's how you teach children about boredom as an adult.
Yes,
you can't burn that down.
The answer is to flip it over and light it on fire. But I'm just saying, you know that car. They go there to collect it. Some Fortune 100 company. They go around to collect the millions of dollars they're making off breaking these poor kids, you know, wrecking their afternoon because the ride doesn't work, and they're just collecting this money. In fact, there's probably no motor in it, right? It's nothing, just empty.
It's not even made to work.
There's no machinery. In fact, it's just a slot. You push your dollar and it goes into a box. Right? So you should be able to burn that shit down. Well, I feel bad because it's talking about Apple. Of course, you know, it's a lot of Apple talk. But did you guys know, this is fucked, that Apple, I got this through a reader, I forget who his name, but tipped me on this.
Did you pay him in Cheetos?
I paid him in Cheetos. This is leaked information. Although you can look on the Apple website and see it publicly, but it's still leaked. So this is exclusive leaked information that we paid for with Cheetos. But Apple is going to charge you $50 for an anti-reflective coating.
On
their laptops.
They've done that before.
It doesn't cost anything extra for that. It ought to be cheaper.
Wait, yeah, they're saying so we can give you a matte screen instead of a transflective screen, and it'll cost $50 more.
Yeah,
$50
more for anti-reflective coating.
That's wiggity whack.
Although that's not new. Their last generation also had that same thing. If you wanted a matte screen, it was $50 more than the reflective one.
I thought they didn't even have it in the last version. You couldn't even get it.
There was at least one of their products. I remember thinking it was very silly that you had to pay extra to get a screen that didn't reflect the sun directly into your eyes.
Because the reflective, the little shiny screens, it looks really cool when you look at it initially, but I would think it would just bug the shit out of me. But to charge you for the anti-reflective screen is a total ripoff. And the bad thing about that is because now Apple people, of course, will just pay the $50 and they won't complain. But now Apple's going to go, what can we charge you next? Right? So then it's going to be like, well, we've been optimizing our notebooks, and this keyboard only has a shift key on the right side. If you want a shift key on both sides, that's $10 more.
See,
and also, you don't get the letter Z and number 2. That's another $15.
See, if keyboards only had a left shift key, I would never notice the difference. There was actually one of the netbooks I reviewed had a really small right shift key, and a lot of people complained about it. I did not notice because I never use that shift key.
What? You don't use which shift key?
I don't use the right one.
You don't
No, I only shift with my left pinky.
Well, how the hell do you like capitalize like something like Alex? You send me an email, it's just lowercase Alex?
No, you use the pinky on the shift key and the ring finger on the A. It's really fast.
That's insane.
It is insane. It's how I've always done it.
So you'd be fine with that. So Apple charging you for the letter Z or for a shift key, you'd be okay with that?
No. If they made it $10 cheaper not to have the right shift key, I'd be like, yeah, okay. Because hey, it's $10 for a key I don't use, right?
that would be interesting. That would be the next thing, right? You can pay less. They can start taking features out. What could they possibly do? They could take letters off the keyboard. They could actually get rid of the hardware power switch. It could be like only software. Or when you plug it into the wall, it turns on automatically. You would be okay with this.
No, that's not what I said. I said I'd be okay if it didn't come with a right shift key because I personally don't type using the right shift key. I did not authorize all these other, you know, whatever you're describing to me. It was a very limited statement.
Here's the next one. Gray Powell, right? I feel bad for the guy. Right? I mean, except it's the biggest fuck up ever, practically, except for the McAfee guy who killed those $100,000 PCs. 100,000 PCs this week, right?
Yeah.
But so is it wrong to say is it wrong to say you gray palled something?
You have been trying to make this happen all week.
Well, no, I'm saying, is it wrong? I'm just saying, I started to do it and it's like, oh man, I feel kind of bad because you don't want to make fun of the guy. But in some ways, what can you do? You know? So the question is, if you gray pal something, is it only just losing it? Or is it actually getting drunk and then losing it? Or is it just kind of a general screw up? I palled this. It's sort of like pulling a brownie, right? Heck of a job, brownie, right? Is it like pulling a brownie?
See, pulling a brownie is misleading. It makes me think there's going to be brownies. And I like brownies.
So, okay.
I've never heard of pulling a brownie.
Well, you could. I mean, it's brownie, you know. Heck of a job. And yeah, that's when you know you fucked up, right? When somebody tells you you've done heck of a job.
Yeah.
But so I'm just saying, is this like a gray pal? When you go into a bar, you lose your keys or your car or something? Fuck, I palled my keys.
Only if they were the keys to like your one-of-a-kind prototype, air-powered Tesla Roadster.
I feel bad. So I really can't make fun of the guy. But I swear they should make him. They should make him a hero. What? You want to what?
I said, yes, you can. You've been making fun of him.
They should make him a hero. He's my hero.
Because he fucked up?
He screwed up. And, you know, they ought to just like, yeah, Apple ought to just say, yeah, we don't hate our employees. Somebody fucks up once in a while. They should just, he should be on YouTube. He should have his own YouTube video. He should be on Saturday Night Live. You know, Letterman made fun of the guy.
How topical.
Yeah, well, I'm saying he needs to ride this. He's a celebrity, man. I'd have him on the show.
Oh, I would too.
To make it happen. So
for the 15 people who listen. But, you know, all right, this is going nowhere. you guys hear about that Apple in their iTunes store not approving the app for the guy who won the Pulitzer Prize for cartoons this year?
No.
You hear about that, Andy?
No.
Yeah, he's a local cartoonist. He won the Pulitzer Prize, for political cartoons.
Yeah.
Mark Fiore or whatever. Well, he, of course, was saying, you know, I've had this, I've been trying to get this Apple application approved for the iPhone, but they won't approve it. They said it's too political. And of course, they didn't approve it, and then he won the Pulitzer Prize, and then sort of like, of course, it's just a screw up. We're going to approve that now. But it's obvious that Apple's making the call on the editorial content of their applications, right? They're not allowing porn, right? Now they're not allowing cartoons because they're too political. So does that make, you know, this is this question, does this make Apple a fascist state or a communist state?
Well, you're using communists the same way the Tea Party does. Just anything you don't like. if they were communist, they'd allow everyone in, and they wouldn't take 60% of the profits for every, you know.
And they also wouldn't let you practice your own religion. They would also dictate to you how you live your life and things you can own. Right?
It's not pure sort of communism. Like, that's applied communism.
It's sort of like, oh, let me just download new drivers for this. Oh, no, there aren't drivers available. Where do I get my drivers from?
Nah, comrade, you get no drivers.
I get
not
them
until every Apple. Comrade has drivers.
Right, you get them from Apple. You know, where do I want some new hardware updates? Oh, you get them from Apple. Everything is from Apple. You don't think that's similar to communism?
As applied in the Soviet Union and other places, yes. Not like hypothetical communism, which is works great because there's no actual people involved.
In the hypothetical state, which has never existed, yes, I suppose.
Yes, yes. Just like capitalism works great and nobody gets screwed over ever.
Anyway. I don't know. So I think that's screwed up.
Yeah,
doesn't bother
well,
you? What the hell's making,
of course it bothers me. They're making like a little, you know, sanitized Disneyland.
Thing. Right. I've said that for a long time, but you could also say they also have their own little 1950s Soviet Union there. They've got yes. their secret police spying on everybody. Of course, we sort of have that too here. But
what, here? You mean like in PC land or like at Future or?
No.
Oh, in the U.S. Like actual. Gotcha.
Is there spying on the PC? Probably only by criminals. Yeah. This is going nowhere, too.
It's pretty good.
Which okay, so I'm going to bring this up. The other day, right? It was two days ago. They sent out an email, and I'm not making this up. Our IT department says the iPads are crashing our corporate Wi-Fi network, so they have to basically quarantine all of them. So if you have an iPad that you're going to use on our network, you're not allowed to use it on our wireless network.
Yeah, they set up a separate walled garden for iPads only.
Right, so the iPads have their own special Wi-Fi network because they have obviously something wrong with the iPad, which to me I would think is a problem because, you know, we've got hundreds of Wi-Fi devices here. No one has ever had any problems with the thing crashing. But I was upstairs with the IT guy, and of course, our IT guy is a Mac guy, so he's got his Mac on his desk and under his desk. And I said, yeah, what's up with the iPad, right? And he's like, oh, it's not the iPad's fault our corporate network is crashing, the one we've had in place for 4 or 5 years. It's a problem with our Wi-Fi equipment's too old. No, it's not the iPad at all, right? Even though it works with everything else except for the iPad, it's not the iPad's fault.
If I was
that
just
not
better
thinking of a Mac user or what?
It's a Stockholm syndrome. It's my fault that he's mean to me kind of thing.
Yeah, I've got nothing to complain about Apple. See, of course, he calls and complains about us talking about Apple on a day when I have nothing but these Apple things. Now, this is a good one. I did not know. Did you guys know there is a blue screen of death on the Mac?
I did not know that.
I don't use
yeah,
a Mac.
It's called like the kernel panic or something. It's just a crash, right? Well, it's not blue, but there's – well, actually, I bring this up. We hear nothing but smack talking about the blue screen of death on the PC. We make fun of it on the PC. But now turns out there's actually the same thing on the Mac where the entire OS will just crash and you get this weird screen or something. That doesn't bug you that these guys have been making fun of us for our blue screen of death, but they have had their own screen of death this whole time too?
It bothers me, but I mean, it's not surprising. Everyone ignores the failings of the things that they like and accentuates the failings of the things they don't like.
That's not true. That is not true at all. When Vista came out, did we all ignore the failings of Vista and just say how great it was? No.
No.
Everybody bitched and moaned for months about Vista and driver problems and it crashing and not being compatible with hardware, all that, but I went on forever, right? Everybody hated Vista. Right?
If a Mac person had asked us, oh, does this mean you're going to switch to a Mac? What would we have said? Hell no.
No, but we would at least bitch about it and say, yeah, man, they really screwed the pooch on this, right?
Do you think Apple users complain to each other and just don't complain to us?
I don't know. Maybe they don't air their laundry publicly. Maybe that's the secret. Maybe the Mac people have just as many complaints as PC people.
And we just don't know.
And they don't tell us about it because they're, whoa, it's a PC person. Well, everything's fine. Everything just works on the Mac. Everything's fine. Everything works on the Mac, which I can tell you is bullshit because in the last few days, two different people have come to me for help with their Macs, to help fix their Macs. One of them was just crashing. She had no idea why. It's like, I don't know. I don't work on Macs. And the other friend is like, yeah, you know, my wife's Mac, it's been crashed. It starts up, and then I get this blue screen of death. It just stops when it turns blue. I brought it to AppleCare. They wanted like $300. First they said, well, we can send it in to have them look at it. It'll cost $300, and they'll probably wipe out all of your data. Okay, thank you. Why don't I just take it out and run it over with a truck, right? So then he's talking to me, asking me for help to fix his Mac. He's actually a PC person, so he doesn't know how to fix a Mac. It's his wife's machine, but I have to help fix it with him. So we're trying to like all try figure out all kinds of stuff. Finally, we're like, well, it seems like the hardware is fine. Passes the hardware test. I think he ran – Memtest, by the way, happens to work on the Mac even though it has an EFI. It doesn't have BIOS. I was like, yeah. So he successfully somehow copied the files off the Mac. He figured out a way to do that. But then I was saying, well, you know, usually if you're going to reinstall the OS, you have to be make sure you get all the files you want off of there before you nuke the drive, because there's always something you forget that you need that you would, you know, that's going to kill you if you don't.
Yeah. Have.
So I was like, you know, I'd go out and buy another drive. You know, $80 will get you a 500 gig SATA notebook drive these days. He's like, that's a great idea. I'm going to go down to Fry's and do it. So then he starts looking at the Mac to replace the drive, and he can't figure out how to get the drive in there. He's like, you have to take this whole thing apart to take the hard drive out. I said, yes, that is a by design reason for Apple. Why the hell they do that with Apple, I don't know. Because in every PC, you can unscrew 2 to 4 screws, pull the hard drive out of the laptop, and that's it. But on the Mac, you have to take off the keyboard, take the whole damn thing apart to change the hard drive. So he's like, fuck it. I'm not going to change the hard drive. I'm just going to go ahead and see if this works. So he just reinstalls the OS, and he's like, hey, I don't have to buy a new notebook. This thing seems to work fine with the OS. So obviously, the OS stopped working. God knows why. She's using it, stopped working, wouldn't boot, right? So the Mac broke itself, which happens on the PC. We do it all the time, right? But then he goes to another friend who's a Mac person. He's got 4 Macs. He's like, yeah, man, they tried to rip us off at AppleCare. They wanted $300 to reinstall the OS. You know, I reinstalled myself. It fixed it. And so the Mac friend is like, oh, well, you got to do that every once in a while. It's like a tune-up on a car, right? So, yeah, so every 2 years, you should wipe out everything on your computer and reinstall the OS, which I don't do that. I mean, usually I'll install the OS on the PC. I'll leave it till I just retire the PC. Because I'm too lazy to migrate all the data and wipe it out. I mean, do you guys reinstall your OS every 2 years? PC users do it. Mac users have to do it. Of course, everybody talks about it because I've never figured out what exactly is Google doing with the Nexus One. Are they just screwing around? They've got a couple $100 million to burn doing, you know, to screw around. They could give that money to me. I would be happy. So they do the Nexus One. They do it on T-Mobile half-heartedly. They don't support it. You can't get phone support for it. You can only do like forum support for the damn thing. You can't get the phone in the stores. It's just wacky how you can buy it. You can only buy it with certain plans. But like, hey, we're going to do an AT&T and Verizon version too. Of course, months later, I guess Google's figured out, oh man, supporting phones sucks. We don't want to do it. So on the Verizon, they said, oh, we're just not going to, you know, this HTC Incredible is out and it's actually just as good as the Nexus One. You should buy that instead. So they basically have cut the balls off the Nexus One, right? So anybody who has this phone, basically it's a dead platform. It's a dead phone.
Yeah, they're sort of dabbling. I mean, that's what Google does. They throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. The difference before is that, you know, it was Wave, it was Buzz, it was Google Notebook. Remember Google Notebook? I liked that, but they stopped supporting it. The difference now is people have a physical piece of hardware that they rely on.
Google, they're just dabbling. It's just a beta product, okay? It's Google. Now, take that and replace it with Microsoft. And what do people say? Right? Would everybody be calm about that? People go ballistic. Like the Courier, which was nothing but a render. It was like a ray-traced render of this thing. They never even said it was real. It was a leak. And people were like, oh, man, Microsoft fucked up again, right?
Everybody, yeah.
Right? There's that double standard. Not like we're, you know, huge supporters of Microsoft, but if we're going to beat on Microsoft, if the tech media is going to beat on Microsoft over its screw-ups, they also need to do the same thing with Google and Apple, right? Because, I mean, it's pretty clear the Nexus One has just been a failure, right? It's been a failure. But people are like, oh, Google's just screwing around. It's okay. It's Google. But if it's Microsoft, if Microsoft says, you know, Windows 7, we're not going to do it. We're going to do Windows 8 instead. People would be, oh, my, that's it. It's over for Microsoft. They're giving up. It's over. Microsoft couldn't even make poo right. That's what people would say. But when it's Google, it's like, oh, it's okay. They give them the same pass they give Apple. And I think, actually, Google and Apple should get the same harsh treatment that Microsoft gets from everybody.
I agree. I think we should hold everyone to the same standards. I wasn't trying to excuse Google's behavior. I was trying to explain it. There's a difference.
Well, it just seems like Google has more room to screw around a little more, too.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know exactly, but I'm just talking about, in terms of what you're saying and people's reactions, you're right. People really, really got really upset at Microsoft for the Courier just today. I mean,
right. And it wasn't even a real product. It was just a render. Right? It wasn't. It was like Crayola. A Crayola fucking drawing of this thing, right? And people are like, ah! But Google, it's, you know, yeah, we said we're going to do this phone. You've been waiting for this phone for months. You've been putting off your phone purchase. Why don't you go buy this other thing instead? You know, that's okay. You're right. That's okay. This is like doing it by myself practically. This is just like Rod Steiger. This is why he'd be so pissed off.
It's like even worse because it's like the director's not even in the same room or something. He's like, all
right. Right.
Go ahead, Rod.
Okay. Remember Gizmodo ran that story about Steve Jobs being Michael Corleone and Apple basically being the Corleone family?
What?
Just basically, I saw this. Gizmodo, they had this theory that Apple was basically the mob, right? Because they have no problems just bumping people off or pushing people around like the mob.
Yeah.
Like Michael Corleone. It's always about the it's always about the family with Michael Corleone, right? It's always about the Corleones. That's it. Of course, actually, Michael Corleone got it all wrong because the actual Don, the real Don, it was about the family. It wasn't about just business. With Michael, it was all about business.
That's right.
Steve Jobs, all about business, right? Well, I actually sort of believe that, but I actually have now figured out a better movie analogy for the whole fucking lost iPhone thing. Right? And that is, now, so people go, because people go like, now you gotta stay with me on this.
I'm following.
People don't believe that Apple, with its crazy, you know, crazy internal security that doesn't let you leak like a piece of toilet paper out of that building, right? You could not take the next biggest thing that they're going to do, walk out of it to a bar and lose it. So everybody says there's no fucking way Apple would let that happen. It must be on purpose, right?
Okay. So that or the unwillingly set up the guy?
That's it. That's it. So here's what it is. Steve Jobs is the Big Lebowski. He's Mr. Lebowski, right? So he's in his office. He's like, you know, fuck, you know, they're coming out with Windows Phone 7. You hear all this crap about all the Android phones. I really want to fuck with these people. How am I going to get the fourth generation iPhone out of the building and get tons and tons of free press without actually making it look like we did it on purpose, right?
Okay.
So then he's like, well, no problem. We'll get this engineer who, like, loves to drink. Right? He's the dude. So Steve Jobs calls Gray Powell into his office and hey, you want to check out the fourth generation phone? You know? And the guy's like, wow, I don't even work on this. I work on the escape key on the new Mac Pro. It's quite an honor that you're gonna let me have this phone, right? So they know the guy's gonna lose it. So he goes to the bar, he gets drunk, he leaves it on the stool, we know what happens. Right?
Yeah.
So that's how Steve did it. It's the Big Lebowski. Remember? Because the Big Lebowski.
Wait, yeah, remind me what the setup was in Big Lebowski.
He supposedly wanted, he's like, why? See, his wife gets kidnapped.
Oh, yeah.
He wants somebody to go pay the kidnappers the ransom and get his wife back.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But so, really,
the Big Lebowski gets the dude who's a total fuck up.
Yeah,
right?
'Cause he knows he's going to mess it up.
He's going to screw it up. And he gives him not real money, but a briefcase full of paper. Which, of course, Walter substitutes for his underwear.
Yeah.
Right? Because the dude figures it out. It's like, why the hell would the Big Lebowski hire a fuck up like me to do this unless he wanted me to fuck it up? So it makes sense. Steve Jobs, Big Lebowski. Gray Powell is the dude.
Yeah, it seems that's a lot more, you know, feasible than I think the Corleone.
Right, it makes a lot more sense. I was trying to figure out who the other characters were.
So you're saying new shit has come to light?
Like, who's Donnie? Or who's...
Yeah, who's Donnie?
Walter.
I'm not sure. I mean, Donnie could be Gizmodo. But then the fact is...
Maybe.
I feel like Walter is Gizmodo. Donnie might be the guy who found the phone.
He's out of it. Walter's probably Gizmodo, right?
Yeah, because he's trying to like profit from it.
So Brian Jones, that's his name, right? The dude who found the phone, is he Donnie? Or is he... Is he the nihilist? He's the nihilist.
He believes in nothing.
Now the 3G iPhone, the 4G iPhone, that's Bunny Lebowski.
Yeah. This is all on the presumption that Steve Jobs...
Brian Hogan?
Is he the guy that found the phone?
Yeah, he found the phone.
This is all the presumption of what?
That Steve Jobs could sort of mastermind something like this.
Of course. How could they... I mean... Again, why would he let this kid take the hottest thing, which is under total lockdown at Apple, out into a bar and leave it on a stool? Unless it was planned. Just like the Big Lebowski. He saw his opportunity, and he took it.
You're right. I mean, he didn't get fired yet, even, did he?
No. See?
You're right.
So I had to go take a meeting with Dolby. There's actually some cool stuff. But I'm going to go over there. I'm looking for a parking spot. And it's like the only thing I could find were parking meters. And of course, it's the city of San Francisco. It's like 1/4 is 5 fucking minutes. It's like it's an hour meeting. Why would I have that many quarters?
And they
have to have like $10 in quarters.
They're like super strict about it too. They'll come get you.
Oh, Jesus. So San Francisco, they don't make money anywhere else except on the parking tickets now. Right. So it's like $10 to park.
And you have to pay it all in change?
You have to pay it all in change. Because I was like, oh, hey, here's one of these things you can use your credit card, right? Because it's going to be whatever, $5.
Yeah.
But no, it was like a special fucking credit card machine. It's like you have to have this special like parking thing, card that they have in San Francisco. You can't use your fucking credit card. So I had to move my car. It's like parking meter, right?
Oh.
$10 in quarters. And where do you get that? You can't even go into a place and go like, hey, can I have some quarters?
Is there a cutoff time? Like,
well, yeah, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
But now I think they're like going to make it 8 p.m.
Ooh.
And they're talking about like, oh, we're going to do it on Sunday too. Well, put the fucking machines in that take credit cards everywhere. We're going to ask that much. I mean, it's going to cost you $20 to park for 2 hours in quarters.
It's like 80 quarters.
You can't carry all that in quarters. It'll ruin all your phone. It'll ruin your phone.
You got to carry the change in the quarters in a different pocket. Or the change in the phone.
You'd have to carry it in your iPad purse. It'd be that many quarters. You'd have to have rolls and rolls of them.
Then the city of San Francisco will run out of quarters on that. All the banks will just not have quarters on hand.
I mean, they can at least make it take the fucking dollar, whatever's they are. The Susan B. Anthony or whatever dollar. They can make it take the JFK dollars. You know? And yeah, the slot would be pretty fucking big, but at least you could only put 4 of those JFK dollars in there. It is JFK on that, right?
Yeah, I think. Or is he on the 50 cent?
No, that's Bobby. I think. My mom wants me to convert these DVDs, the audio from the DVDs. It's bad opera. But she wants to listen to them on CD, right?
Okay, I've been there.
So I convert them. Bubba, do it all. Hello?
Yeah.
And then, Nathan's left.
He fucking did it again.
He fucking Brando'd me again.
He's going to his trailer.
Jesus. So I do this, and then I get to her house, and she's like, and I said, "Oh shit, I forgot the DVDs and the discs at work." And then she's like, "Why'd you forget them?" Well, no, think about that. It's like, why did you forget them?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Like.
Oh, yeah, well, I wrote it down so I would forget. I did it on purpose, right? It's like, no, I forgot. That's why they call it forgot. Why would you ask somebody, why did you forget it? Because I'm just fucking with you. That's why I forgot it, Mom. Of course, I didn't say that.
Well, I mean, you could have gotten, like, bumped in the head or something serious.
If I said that, yes. But I mean, I'm just saying.
That's the only way you could have a cause for forgetting.
I don't think my mom was asking, did you possibly get bumped on the head or something? did you forget because you had to go get like $25 in fucking quarters to park in the city? No, that's not why. It was just, I forgot. But no, it's just like, well, that's what parents do. Well, what'd you do that for? That was pretty dumb. What'd you do that for? Well, because it was pretty fucking dumb. That's why I did it.
And this also ties back into why he left the iPhone at the bar.
Right.
You can't ask him because there's no reason.
Gray, what? Why'd you forget it there? Why'd you? I would imagine Gray Powell got pretty pissed. He gets called into Steve's office. Steve's like, why'd you forget it? Well, I did it on purpose, sir. No, I just fucking... I fucked up. Don't ask me why I did it. It's a fuck up. You never ask somebody why they fucked up. They know they fucked up.
Yes.
Except in the case of losing the 4G iPhone, because Steve knew he would lose it.
Did you get the CDs to your mom, though, eventually?
No, not yet. I'll give it to her this weekend, but still. It's just sort of that parent thing, you know? It's like...
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to do? They're your parents. Well, this is truly amazing. I just realized, because, you know, the company was looking for somebody to translate something in French.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And wait, why?
I don't know. Somebody okay. was like,
was
hey,
for, it was for the French. The French
you can't talk about it. The secret.
Okay.
No, that's not a secret.
It is secret.
No, it's not. It's not a secret at all.
What?
It was for World of Warcraft magazine.
Oh, I thought it was the other thing that was secret.
No, that's a secret. We can't talk about that. But no, it was for the French edition of World of Warcraft magazine.
Wait, maybe that's a secret, though.
That's not a secret. They're on issue 2. It was a secret
French
before.
French version?
Yeah. No, they've been doing international editions this whole time.
Well, here's my question. And I thought of this because, Andy, you don't know this.
Yeah.
But basically, in front of our building, we fly the Union Jack, even though we're on American soil, because we have so many English people here.
We have a Union Jack in the building?
I've been to the building. I didn't see the Union Jack.
Well, you know.
Metaphorically.
Yeah. So then I don't know why I thought this, but now think about this. Now, of course, I always complain about Star Trek the movie not making any sense because Spock would never allow the timeline to be so broken.
Yeah.
But here's another thing that really made no sense with Next Generation. Captain Picard is French, right?
What?
Yes, Captain Picard was supposed to be. You didn't even know that? Yes,
no,
Captain,
dude.
His name is Jean-Luc Picard.
Could be Canadian.
Jean-Luc Picard. What?
It could be Quebec.
Yes, but with the English accent?
Make it so, number one.
Yeah, right. It's weird.
That makes no sense. That's like... You know, again, as I was saying, that's like Red Sox fans and Yankees fans, like, having a party together. You know, they hate each other. So, how does that make sense that Captain Picard is French?
I
remember him referencing it once in an episode.
Does your work every 4 years get really interesting during the World Cup if you wear, like, the opposite of whoever's in England is playing in the World Cup?
We're Americans, so we don't know what's going on in the World Cup.
Well, yeah, actually, I'll tell you what happens is during the World Cup, Andy.
Yeah.
So all the Brits start wearing their whatever shirts.
Yeah, like the England shirts.
And we're like, dude, what the fuck are you wearing like today? What? Like it's soccer. It's, you know, it's the most popular sport in the world. And of course, we're like, that's just a bunch of people running around on a field randomly. A real sport is football, right? I mean, that's football.
You know what's funny is in soccer, we actually have their star player now, too. David Beckham plays for America.
Well, he's a little bit over the hill. He plays for England, though.
Wait, so you guys like soccer more than you like football?
No. I'm not saying that.
I do, yes, personally.
See, I always feel really bad because I want to like soccer. But it just seems like a really kind of like... I mean, I'm going to insult like millions of people here, but it seems kind of third world.
Kind of what?
You know, like, it just seems like it's a game that, you know, in developing nations is really popular because all you need is a field of dirt and a ball.
Yeah, you don't need wussy things like shoulder pads trainers and millionaires to play the game, although you can have millionaires.
The thing about football, it's war. It's about planning. It's this, you know, counterattack. You know, we try this, they try that. Here's a commercial.
Right?
Yep.
Here's the guys dancing in the end zone. But it just, I don't know. So yes, during the World Cup, it does get a little strange. But, you know, of course, I just insulted like millions, probably like 5 billion people there.
You probably did. I don't know. I think soccer is, I like the idea of a soccer game better than I like the idea of football as a sport. But soccer, the games are often boring.
No.
Soccer to me, you mean football or soccer?
Both. But
the soccer and the football is exciting, man.
Ugh, football's boring as hell.
The problem is, like, soccer, like, I swear to God, like, I watch, it's like, do they play man-to-man? Is there zone? Or what's going on? It just seems like some guy's got the ball, he's running. He's like, it just doesn't make any sense.
The main thing that makes soccer more boring than football is nobody hardly ever scores. The most average score in a soccer game is like 2-1, and you're sitting there for like 95 minutes.
Actually on the field running back and forth, unlike football where it's, you know, 2 minutes of prep, 30 seconds of cutting, of standing there going, boo!
Well, yeah, there's nothing like using strategy before you start.
3 seconds of action and then a 5-minute commercial break.
Yeah, but every couple of minutes in football, some dude gets pwned like hard. And that's entertaining.
It's not that hard. He's wearing padding. Rugby, now there's a sport.
All right.
Football and the brutality.
But football, there's like, come on, there's, you know, again, there's plans, there's counter plans, there's offense, there's defense, there's rules upon rules upon rules upon rules, there's instant replay, there's a lot of, like, you know, drama there.
Boring drama.
With soccer, it's just sort of like, oh, why did you kick the ball over here? Now kick it over there.
Oh, he pushed me. Okay. I'm going to fall down.
I'm going to kick it some more.
Try and get a penalty. Yeah, there's a lot of acting. It's bad.
Yeah.
Well, that's no different than the NBA.
Not as bad as, like, you know, NBA, yes. That is bad.
Yeah, that's rigged completely.
Every time,
They don't have, like, squibs on them. They should have squibs on them.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
They hit the floor and they just sort of, like,
like blood everywhere. It's like, yes.
An arm falls off, you know, or something like that. You know, it just... Yeah, all time. I mean, they should get like Academy Awards in the NBA for the flopping they do.
Yeah, they really push it to the limit.
And you gotta admit, the worst reffing in the world, NBA.
Yeah, you're totally right about that.
Worst reffing in the world. One of our photographers comes down. Samantha comes down. She's like, "Hey, I got to ask you some advice on this PC. My parents want to buy this advice." She's a photographer, so she's a Mac user. And she goes, "I tried to get them to get a Mac, but they want to buy this PC." I looked at this PC. I said, "This is totally overpriced for what they need." And then she goes, "Yeah, I tried to get them a Mac, but they didn't want to do it." And I said, "Well, you should have them buy a Mac." And she was really surprised. Like, Gordon, you're telling me to tell my parents to get a Mac, right?
Wow. Yeah, no.
Like- yeah, no. So then I said, "No, Samantha, you use a Mac, right?" She goes, "Yes." "You love the Mac." "Yes." "Do you ever have problems with the Mac?" "No." So the Mac is perfect platform, right?" "Yes." "So your parents will never have problems by buying a Mac. So therefore, they should get a Mac and they can call you for support. And since you will never have a problem with the Macintosh, because we know nothing ever breaks with OS X or on the Apple, everything works perfectly. You get to talk to your parents. You'll never have to talk to them to support them if you really believe in the Mac that much." And she goes, "Okay, I'm going to have him get the PC."
wait. So she didn't like the idea of helping her parents?
No, because she goes, "Because I basically was saying, if you really believe the Mac is so absolutely idiot-proof and can never break, then you should have them get a Mac. Because when they call you, they'll never have to call you for help."
Yeah.
Right?
And she slowly realized all the problems.
Then she realized, like, well, no, they're right. If I actually have them get a Mac, they will call me for every single problem. So she's like, "Yes, I will have them get a PC," because she doesn't work on PCs. She's a Mac user. I thought that was pretty telling of the Macs are perfect kind of thing.
I like it.
Okay, I can understand people having problems with drivers for Wi-Fi. But how is it adjusting the brightness on the iPad fixes the Wi-Fi problem?
What?
Wait.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, apparently one of the solutions for some people with the iPad is to change the brightness of the iPad.
Maybe it doesn't have enough. Is it raise it or lower it?
I think you raise it. You think, oh, low, power issue, lower it? No, yeah. You raise it? What?
Has anybody talked to Alex about this?
Alex is, he's never had any problems with the iPad.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, it's very strange. You know, I just don't think they make very interesting, like the only thing interesting about them is the design, right? The software is not written particularly well, and the hardware is not put together particularly well. It just looks good.
I don't know. This is my opinion. iPads are pretty cool. There's nothing.
There's nothing comparable to an iPad hardware wise these days. It's true.
But that's so weird. Like, no, my phone does the weirdest shit. And there's no way to fix it. I just have to, like, turn up the volume in order to lock it sometimes, you know? Like, those buttons get all screwed up. Yeah.
Oh, those buttons used to get screwed up on my old iPhone too. And by screwed up, I just meant that they didn't work.
Yeah, like it's becoming to the point where I just know my phone. I'm the only one that can use it because I know all the mess ups.
How long have you had it?
Since last, or 2 years, I guess.
So it's just time for it to break.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The timer's going off. The little light is blinking in its palm.
Yeah.
It's time for it to renew that Apple product.
Oh yeah. As soon as the next one is just about to come out, probably. So.
Right, and if you try to actually get an iPhone to last more than 3 years, Apple will come after you. Just like in Logan's Run.
Oh, yeah.
Or like in those Stride gum commercials where they send like a brass band and some dude in lederhosen in a big van to find you and hit you so that you spit out your gum and get a new piece, right?
Dude, those commercials are so funny. Did you see the one where they ride in on like with Sherpas on goats?
Wow.
I have not seen it.
I don't know these. Yeah, I don't know.
They have the goats charge the guys chewing gum, and they like ram them right in the balls, and they spit the gum out. It's really funny.
Yeah, so the idea
the sad
is that...
thing is, just wait. I'm just going to point this out because I get to, since it's my part of the show. But I just totally threw everybody Logan's Run references. Nobody even got it.
I know what Logan's Run is.
I know Logan's Run.
We just didn't think. I didn't think there was anything I needed to add to that. You know,
there's what, more to build on that.
Oh! So you know, what are you saying? Like, the buttons stop working. The gem starts glowing.
We're going out for some event. What the hell was it? Oh, it was Mother's Day. Going out to my wife's family. Going out, her whole family, whole side goes to this restaurant. I put on a Hawaiian shirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting ready to leave the house, and my son Glenn, is like four, about to turn five. It's like, Daddy, how come you're dressing like Grandpa? Like, dude, that is so fucked up. But what are you going to say? What do you say to that?
Did you go, did you tell him why do you dress like a toddler? Like,
no, I should have, right?
Yeah.
Give me that Thomas the Train. No, why are you dressing Thomas the Train shirt? No, I'm not going to say that. But I was just like, what am I going to say? I was like,
man.
You're becoming your father?
Did it hurt? Like.
It was my wife's father. So, and he wears now. That's, and it's funny because my wife told me, he's like, because we were going to some. This is a couple years ago. She's like, we're going to some other dinner. She's like, oh, just wear a Hawaiian shirt. It's like that too. It's not too casual. She's like, well, no, but you look like every other old Asian guy in the room.
So,
which I got there, and there were like four other guys with old guys with Hawaiian shirts on.
I don't think I'd like it if you wore a Hawaiian shirt, Gordon. It's just not you, man.
Well, you know, the thing is, apparently, it's the nice thing about it is, like, you get to be, like, an older person. That's like a tuxedo. The Hawaiian shirt.
If there's,
so your kid says, hey, you're dressing like, why are you dressing like Grandpa?
So why fight it? It sounds like a wonderful life.
Well, except, I don't know. You don't think a Hawaiian shirt. Your kid says, Your kid who was wearing a fucking Thomas the Train shirt says, why are you dressing like Grandpa?
Did it hurt? Like, what did you do?
Well, I just said, I couldn't come up with a response.
Oh, man.
How do you can't really, shoot back and snap your response at your 5-year-old kid.
I'm turning into an old man already? Is you making me old? No, I don't,
That'd be good. That's a good one. Yeah.
That is a good one. Because you're making me old. Oh, man, that'd be terrible.
Now, you got to wait a couple years to lay that guilt trip on them. But
you wouldn't even understand it. You would just take it literally. Whereas when they're older, they know it's a burn.
Speaking of no one gets a burn. So my little brother, my youngest little brother, is turning 14 in a couple days. And so for his birthday, he knows exactly what he wants. He sends me an Amazon wish list, right, with a Famiclone, like this, basically this piece of hardware that plays both Super Nintendo and Nintendo cartridges. You know, not at the same time, but you know, it basically emulate, it like is an actual piece of hardware that you can play NES or SNES games on. He's like, so I want one of these, and I want a vintage used copy of Star Fox for the NES. Good or choice. SNES, and the Donkey Kong Country bundle for SNES, Donkey Kong Countries 1, 2, and 3. And I told him, wow, I remember when these games came out. I wasn't allowed to have a Super Nintendo. And he's like, when was that? And I said, 19 years ago. And then he called me Gramps.
How old is he?
He's almost 14.
Oh, so he's of age where you can say, oh, those things you want, you ain't going to get them.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't see him very often. And if he wants to explore the game...
Gramps, man.
He did. But, you know, I want him to be able to play Star Fox on the Super Nintendo. I want him to have a, you know, to know where I'm coming from when I talk about games that I grew up with. You know, his generation's all like, they use the Nintendo Wii, and they have their YouTubes and their Flash games.
Dude,
I want them to know about
Nintendo. 14-year-old just called you Gramps. You know what you do? You go out and buy that Star Fox game on eBay.
Well, I got it on Amazon.
You video it yourself playing, and then you send him that video. Look, Gramps is playing Star Fox.
Yeah, he's a little sensitive. I wouldn't want to make him cry or anything. So no, I
just being the good world is going to make you cry. You must start now.
You learn, the better.
He's my baby brother. I can't be too mean to him. Everyone else is going to be mean to him. I have to be the benevolent, you know. I'm the only one of his brothers with a job, for one thing. Thank so Gramps. Yeah, right. I should have. I'll get him back for that one day. Probably when he's 60. I'll be like, ha, you called me Gramps once, and I'll hit him with my cane.
That's like my sister. When I was a kid, now I'll date myself here. When I was a kid, my sister worked at Long, so you got this tremendous discount on an Intellivision. So she bought me this Intellivision for Christmas one year, which is really cool, except that for like the next fucking 20 years, my sister would talk about, you remember that time I got you that Intellivision? It was like $150 in like 1970s money. That's like $5,000 in money today. Like forever. So I guess you could do it.
Hold it over his head.
You can always hold that over his head.
You can over. It's like, remember that time I got you that? Because it was only like, you know, $95, which back in 2010 didn't seem like much.
It was actually
now,
only about 40 bucks.
That's like $8 million.
Yeah. But for 40 bucks, you can get a console, a knockoff console that'll play Nintendo and Super Nintendo games. I think that's pretty cool.
Did you look up the price of Killer Instinct? Because you really just got me curious right now.
Well, you could look it up on Amazon. There's used copies.
I would totally rebuy SNES specifically for Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct Gold, $12. Oh, 26 man. Used from $12. For the, wait, N64 or the SNES?
Oh, no, SNES, man.
They have one new copy for $40 or 22 used from $7.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah.
That really is.
So buy it and, you know, play it. And then,
yeah, I asked him why he didn't want to just, you know, buy them for the Wii Virtual Console. Apparently, he wants the authentic experience. Also, apparently, Star Fox is impossible to emulate, which I did not realize.
Well.
Anyway, I'm going to text him every 20 minutes for the next year. Do a barrel roll. That's how I'll get back.
Well, that's, yeah, and that could work.
Except
but
then, of course, I'd get charged
all
the
time.
Be
like my sister.
Just hold it over his head forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or for at least 20 years.
That's true.
Remember that time? It's like, yes, I remember that time. Yes. She should have got a t-shirt that said that. Remember that time I got you that Intellivision?
Raising an interesting point, you know? If I was really nice to my little brother all the time, he'd get used to it. But if I'm only nice to him once, he'll remember it forever. Wait, that's terrible advice.
What? I was...
Yeah, okay.
I did get her back, though.
You got her back? How'd you get her back?
Well, yeah, like 20 years later, I was like, you know, I got a job, whatever, some Christmas. I got her like an entire car stereo and speakers. You know, it was like, you know, $300, $400, right? And she got me a calendar that year. So it was like, it was just perfect. So
that's for that Intellivision. I hope you enjoy
that. Remember that time you got me that calendar and I got you that car stereo? Yeah.
That was a Merry Christmas.